Tonight, Mark Carman rides sidecar as we continue our coverage of the DNC with leader Lou Lang and Brandon Weatherby. Then later, one of Prelate's favorite comedians, Will Durst, stops by the Showcase studio. And finally, we want all of you to help us find the absolute best gas prices. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Such a great night in Chicago. I don't know what everyone else has been up to. I just got back actually from Zany's. I was performing on Wells there at the my favorite comedy club. I want to thank all of our listeners that came out. In particular, I met a young woman named Heather who works with children with special needs, in particular autism. And she had come out to see my show because she'd heard about me from her sister. So one, I want to thank her sister. But it was great to meet her and talk about our interests in particular when it comes to kids and how we want to take care of them. And as I was talking to her, she was so glad to talk to somebody who was living the kind of life that, parents and families who deal with the kind of special needs that she tries to care for. And she was so excited to have that connection. And I was realizing, because I had watched a little bit of Bill Clinton's speech to the Democratic National Convention, and I think that, you know, we're all kind of looking for that connection, whether it's a politician who might speak to what we need, what we're hoping for. And I didn't get to hear much of Bill Clinton's speech. I'm sure that it went very well. I'm sure he was very charismatic. He's an excellent speaker. I watched a lot of the speeches last week. And what I'm noticing is this week, a lot of the stories, a lot of the conversation is about how we're there for each other, how we can make this country. This country is already great. Last week, a lot of the conversation was about our national safety, our security, about how we want to make America great again. And there are things that are important in both of those platforms. I think there are things that we could take a little bit from either side and go, yeah, that's important to me too. I want my family to be safe. Or I do want individuals with disabilities to have the services that they need. I honestly can't believe we're this far apart on everything in this country, because we have so much in common. We've talked about this before. You know what's important to you. You know that your family's needs are the most important. Food, shelter, making sure that education is provided, whether it's for your family or for the kids in the community, higher education. We all know that that's important. I really have to believe that we're not this far apart, because even within, obviously, the Democratic Party, there is contention and the desire to, sort of hear me. It seems like everyone is saying, listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. And I hope that we are listening to each other. Are people listening and not being heard? Hey, Mark Carman, how are you doing?
Hi, Patty. How are you? Good to be here.
Very well. You were not watching the Democratic National Convention tonight, were you? God, your haircut looks really good. I'm easily distracted, aren't I?
Thank you. I did get a fresh cut today. Thank you for noticing. And
looks
you're
great.
Doing something yourself here with a little
too long. The bangs are a little long.
Little bang, little pig. Yes. Tail, little red and white dress and a jean jacket.
Excellent dark shirt you have there. I don't know if it's black or navy blue.
I'm going with a dark blue tonight. Dark,
I agree.
Blue
I agree.
With a blue jean.
Was it the blend in with the Sox fans at the cell?
Well, it was.
Yes.
No.
It was calculated.
No, I can't give myself that
that's
much credit.
That's a good point. I think the blacks. The White Sox and the. The 1919 Black Sox. I didn't mean to invoke that. The cricket team, and not to varying degrees. I think Chick Gandel definitely was guilty, but Eddie Sakat, he was a good pitcher. I mean, the guy probably was just trying to feed his family.
Seacow was guilty, but they should Shoeless
Bucky
Joe,
Bucky Weaver, and Shoeless Joe. No.
Bucky, I mean, no, if you believe on. Eight Men Out, Bucky Weaver was absolutely innocent.
Poor John Cusack. Just loved playing baseball.
Yeah. I was at the ball game tonight, but I've been paying attention via Twitter and other mechanisms as to what's going on. And
but here's my bigger question. Tell me who won.
The White Sox won again. Cubs did not score tonight. So
that's painful.
It is kind of painful.
You were there.
The White Sox now, since the Crosstown series started, 57 wins to 49. So 50, eight games over now. And they won the Crosstown Classic last year.
Right.
The worst they could do this year is tie, so they'll continue to keep the mantle. They've by my last check, did win a World Series in 2005. The last time the Cubs won the World Series was 1908.
Yeah.
Just a slight bit longer. So I would say that bragging rights, despite the Cubs' immense success this season and perhaps what's coming, it's still on the south side in U.S. Cellular Field. That is just... The
Bragging rights continue to live there.
Right.
Fine. So it's fair enough. That's fair. I think, and as I was mentioning, I think that we could. There's a bridge to cross there to meet halfway. No, that's not really for Cubs and Sox fans. No,
there was.
I think that's worse than Republicans and Democrats trying to listen to each other.
I don't know if it's that bad.
It's pretty bad. It's pretty close.
This is there's some anger in this country right now.
Oh, so very, very, very right? much. We're going to talk to Leader Lou Lang, who is at Great. The convention. Also, I don't know if you know this, but there is a Rob Martier was reporting on this earlier. Representative Ron Sandeck, who is one of the leading Republicans in the House of Representatives, stepped down on Sunday, citing a cybersecurity breach, and wanted to spend more time. And the thing about that, when you say cybersecurity breach, and I want to spend more time with my family, all the alarm and like the things. Now the gossip is almost worse than what the reality might be.
Right.
It's a mess.
Yeah. The whole cyber. Potential.
Security
and potential for disaster. And what does that actually look like at the worst case scenario? Like,
if you were breached, what would you be most concerned about? Your browser history or the content of your emails?
Oh, I would.
I have all my emails. I never get rid of any. I have like 10, 20, 30,000 emails. I spend $2 a month on my Gmail to have extra.
Okay. See, I wouldn't be worried necessarily about my emails. I wouldn't love that. I wouldn't want somebody to, you know, be all involved in my personal information. I wouldn't be worried about that. But what I do, you know, for me, it's like, what happens if, are you going to take all my money? Am I going to be?
That would be, yes. That would be significantly threatening.
That would be a concern. Or are you going to steal my identity? And then I don't know what that looks like exactly. My credit rating goes to whatever. And
yes.
Like that type of disaster.
Okay, now I feel a little nauseous.
Right. That's
you said all those things.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't want you in my email, but like if you really, if at the end of the day, the choice was Patty Vasquez, Jimmy DeCastro, Craig Collins gets to see all my emails, go ahead.
Yeah. Have at it, right? Yeah. But and put them and share them with the world,
right?
Yeah, they're not classified. Nothing is classified.
You want to know what pornographic websites I've gone to at one point in my life? You know,
mine are there's RedTube. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. And we're talking a little bit about the Republican National... we were talking about both conventions. But joining us from Philadelphia is Leader Lou Lang, who has been at the convention since Monday. Did you get there yesterday or on Sunday, Leader Lou?
I arrived on Sunday, Patty. How are you?
I'm great. It's wonderful to see all your photos. I assume you're having a wonderful time.
Having a good time, and we're doing good work. We're going to nominate or have nominated the next president of the United States.
And what was yesterday there was a little bit of chaos. There was some conflict amongst the Bernie supporters. In particular, there were the moments when Debbie Wasserman Schultz was trying to speak to the group. Were you in the room during that?
I was, and, you know, a lot of the Bernie people are very zealous, which they should be, about their candidate. But many of them have never been to a convention and are unfamiliar with all the rules and how it works. And I appreciate their involvement. I hope they will stay involved in the Democratic Party and continue their effort to bring us progressive new values. I think they had a lot to do with the way the platform looks, and they should be proud of that. They did not get their candidate nominated, but... I think they have helped set up Hillary Clinton for a fine fall and a great victory.
Leader Lou, if Hillary Clinton came to you and said, hey, Leader Lou, if there was one thing you think I could do better, what would you say? If she came up to you and asked that and really wanted your input, what would you tell her?
I think it's important that she connect with the Sanders people. I think it's important that people know what most of us know about her that are in the political realm, and that is that she does have the people's touch, that she is interested in their problems, that while she may disagree with Bernie Sanders on a few issues, they've actually come to an agreement on a few issues. And her history, as her husband indicated tonight, is one of making change, is one of aggressively going after problems and dealing with them. And I really think in the end, that's what the Sanders people are looking for. And if she can find that connection, it's going to be a very fine fall.
And do you think that, I mean, what are your thoughts on the fact that Sanders supporters are demanding certain kinds of rhetoric? I mean, I saw people get upset about Sarah Silverman's joke. And I was a little bit taken aback. And I guess as a comedian, you know, people were saying she should have been uniting. And I'll tell you something. When we make with the funny, we're disruptors. We're not there to unite. Look to somebody else. Look to your own leaders for that. Don't you think?
I think that her comment was a little out of line.
Really? The one about the ointment?
I was referring to the comment she made that the Sanders people were being ridiculous. I just think that's not her place. Maybe she was trying to be cute and funny. It didn't come off all that well. I thought she was pretty funny other than that. I thought it was a fun time having her there with Al Franken. But I wasn't real fond of that comment. On the other hand, the Sanders folks that want to pick at that and say, well, she's not a uniter, many of them last night spent a good deal of time trying to disrupt. As the evening went on, even last night, it was less and less as people got more and more into it. And certainly today, the Sanders folks, while they were disappointed about the results relative to their guy, were into the spirit of the thing for the most part. And it was a fine and wonderful night at the convention center.
And when Bernie Sanders, he gave all of his votes to Hillary, is that right?
At the end, Vermont passed, and Bernie standing up on behalf of Vermont to give their votes made an appropriate motion to allow Hillary to win by acclamation. It was an appropriate thing to do. Some who have never seen that before wonder why, but he had his day in the sun. He got his votes up on the board and then did the right thing to help unify and unite the party. I thought his speech yesterday was a good one.
Mm-hmm.
I thought if his people were listening, they would have loudly and clearly have received the message that we need to elect Hillary Clinton, and we must not allow Donald Trump to be president of the United States.
I've read a lot of you know, folks on Facebook who are on both sides of the aisle. And, you know, I wasn't even watching from what speaker was up. And I would see things like, now I got to listen to this angry bitch. I thought, wow, there's a lot of hostility. And I wonder how many people are listening to the content. I mean, I listened to some of the speeches last week. And I, you know, a lot of people I know weren't posting nearly as vitriol comments on Facebook or on Twitter. But for one thing, how wonderful was Anastasia Somoza, the young woman who spoke last night on being a disabled American and what Hillary Clinton has made, you know, the difference she's made in her life.
Well, you can't have listened to that at all and not kind of melted, right? This is a person who had a lot to say, not only about Hillary Clinton, but about herself. And a person that wasn't listening to the speeches this week, or even the speeches last week, were depriving themselves of the opportunity to learn what other people know about the candidates. And what we found is that the Republican convention last week was filled with darkness. It was about fear. It was about what Americans should be afraid of. It was about all the things that they believe are wrong with America. What you see this week is a completely different story, one that talks about hope, one that talks about identifying problems and resolving them, not kowtowing to them, not accepting things that aren't exactly the way we want to be, and just simply throwing up your hands and saying, oh, well, and then blaming someone for them. Our approach would be, whether you're a Sanders supporter or a Clinton supporter, our approach would be we must move forward. Bill Clinton tonight talked about Hillary being a change agent. That is exactly what America needs now.
And a lot has been made about the consolidation of wealth, I think, as far as, and in particular when it comes to minimum wage. Donald Trump, I guess, has said that our minimum wage is already too high. He wants to give the states rights to draw that back. And Bernie Sanders mentioned last night, really the consolidated wealth when it comes to the top 1% in comparison with the 99%. And I was listening to that weirdly in the shower. That wasn't really pertinent information for anybody, but
I think it's huge.
It's a sense memory thing for me. I always remember being in the shower while I heard him give his speech. I had to get to work, but he was talking about that, and I thought, how do people think that happens, right? Because we talk about how, well, you know, all of our money is going toward all these social services or going to welfare, going to food stamps. trips. Do we really think that that's why we have less, is because we're paying for the more, the most needy, for public works, for roads, for education? Or is it perhaps something else?
Well, it's interesting. Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders have both been talking about the rigged system. But when Donald Trump talks about it, what he means is that the upper 1% or the upper 0.1% have trouble making many billions of dollars more than they're making now because of regulation, for instance. When Bernie Sanders talks about it, when Democrats talk about the system and the changes we need to have, we're talking about how to improve things for regular, ordinary citizens who have trouble making ends meet or sending their kids to college or paying for health care. It's a completely different approach to the problems of America.
Leader Lou, how do you boil it down when, I mean, I'm walking the street or I'm at White Sox Cubs tonight, people are legit terrified that I talk to that Donald Trump is going to be the president. And he polls like 60%, 65% negative. Yet he's leading in many of the polls that you see right now. How do you put all that together where this is even possible and it could happen? And what needs to change between now and the election?
First, I would say that you expect after the Republican convention that there would be a bump in Mr. Trump's numbers. People who identify themselves as Republicans are going to start to jump on board at least a little bit. Those who are afraid don't have to be afraid if they actually go to vote. Today, the state of Illinois has a governor that only won his last election because Democrats stayed home. If Democrats go to vote in this election, Hillary Clinton will be elected president of the United States. If they stay home, Donald Trump will be elected president of the United States. It's really that simple. So instead of being paralyzed into fear, people should be motivated into action, and they should tell their neighbor why they're not for Donald Trump, and they should tell their neighbor why they think Hillary Clinton would be a wonderful president. And if they do those things, it'll make a huge difference.
And it does seem as though Donald Trump really is, with a theme of law and order, and we're going to get rid of ISIS. And he said so fast, not that that's a plan, but so fast. What kind of conversations, what are the speeches that you're hearing? How are they bringing in national security? Have we heard anybody discuss that?
There hasn't been a lot of time on that issue. I would say, however, that there was a significant amount of time talking about Hillary Clinton's foreign policy experience, not only as a United States senator, but as Secretary of State. And in places that she went, there were a lot of improvements in U.S. relations with those nations. As people know, as I hear and as you hear, as people travel around the world, they hear that the people don't have the world's greatest view of the United States of America or Americans. We need a president who understands all of that to make a big difference. And if we can do that and we can begin to repair the image of America around the world, it'll be easier to find more allies that want to help us in the great quest of rooting the world of terrorism.
Do you know the one, Carl?
No.
I think that's really gripping for people because they feel like the world is such a chaotic place right now. And we have there's so many things, there's so many leaks, I think, in the wall, right, that people want to put a bucket and go, okay, how about this? How about, whether it's our debt or it's minimum wage or it's access to health care? I mean, that's another thing that he has said. Donald Trump has said he would repeal Obamacare on the very first day. And that was something that Hillary Clinton fought for universal health care back in 1993. I don't know. I mean, I feel like I've watched this most of my life, the sort of really growing disdain for her, even back in 1993, when you think about the push back against by Republicans with Newt Gingrich and the 100 days. What was it? The treaty? I can't remember what the thing was, but it was basically to push back against
the contract with America.
That's what it was. The contract with America. And, people keep bringing up all these investigations and all, going all the way back to even her days as a lawyer or in the White House. And how do people, I don't know, how would you explain it to people, if all these investigations have really led to no charges? I mean, everyone seems to think, well, if there's smoke, there's fire. But I can't explain it to people, Leader Lou.
Hillary Clinton has been investigated up and down, to and fro, by all kinds of people, including a hours-long investigation by the United States Congress into the Benghazi matter. They tried to embarrass her on national television that went on for hours and hours and hours and could find nothing to talk about in terms of anything she did wrong. The point here is that Donald Trump and his minions do not have anything positive to bring to the table. You heard in their convention last week that they had nothing to say. There was no plan. There was no idea about how to improve America, only to make Americans more frightened about health care, more frightened about terrorism, more frightened about the stock market, more frightened about losing their job, more frightened about just waking up in the morning and living in America. That is not the America that most of us believe in. That is not the America that most of us believe we even have. America is a place where people are hopeful. They want a better future, and they want someone who will help them get to that better future. They're not interested in a person running for president or any other office that is so dark and foreboding. This is not what America needs. We need a person to lead, not a person to scare us to death.
Well, thank you so much for your time and your insight on this. And I by the way, I need to invite you in studio soon because we have a temporary budget, or at least one that gets us through January. So we're having our segments, the Crisis Corner, Now What? So hopefully you can come in studio in the next couple weeks on a Friday.
Absolutely, Patty. Let's get together, figure out a date, and I'll be there.
Perfect. Safe travels and enjoy yourself.
Thanks. Have a nice night.
You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, joined by our very own Mark Harmon. Hi, Carm. You just came back from the cell.
I did, and I just made a really awkward, I'm in pain noise. You're like, what's wrong with you? And I'm reading everything from tonight. It's causing audible sighs for me. I'm reading about what Bill was talking about, how in 1971 he met a girl and how they've been.
She had big glasses and no makeup. It was awkward because I know how that can be picked up by somebody else. You know, like the way other people hear those words. It was weird because he's just seen as this womanizer. And
I was
going to
say player, but womanizer.
Player. Just fun. It's just more fun to say player.
Good times and bad through joy and heartbreak.
Oh. They have been through a lot.
They've
1971.
Been through 1971.
What is that, 45 years?
Monica Lewinsky. They've been through a lot.
Not just that one thing.
I mean.
You know, there have been other things. I think they've been through other things. But
that's a big thing.
What do you think about that coming up last week at the, coming up at the Republican National Convention, that there were, like, these shirts that were really vulgar and.
Yeah, I always, I like it when people focus on things that matter.
Mm-hmm.
And.
How do you sell a T-shirt that has things that matter on it? Oh, that's not an easy sell, my friend.
I guess not.
It's got to bring in fellatio. It's got to somehow. It's got to have bodily fluids involved.
Right.
Cigars.
I mean that action really did change the course of history. Without right.
I'm glad that I was old enough to not have to have that conversation with my parents. Can you I can't imagine being in the car with Griffin and having to explain because it was in news reports. Oral sex. Maybe that's why people are so angry. They had to admit that they knew what that was to their kids. Is that what they're so angry about?
I don't know. That's possible.
Maybe it was healthy in some ways. Maybe we could be more open and honest about those conversations.
I mean, Gore distances himself from Clinton, which was a mistake. Gore loses the election or has the election stolen from him, however you want to look at what happened in Florida.
It should if in fact Gore was a strong enough candidate, it shouldn't have been that close.
That's true too. Gore was a terrible candidate. I completely agree. But if he had been a better strategist, he would have used Bill despite what was going on, and he would have easily won the election. Then, you know, you end up having 9/11, and who knows what the response would have been if George wasn't in office. And you just that one action by good old the two of them. I'm not, you know, there's, it's, you know, we're, I'm not.
Right. I mean, it was not something that happened out of thin air. It was something that was it had been attempted years before. In the mid-90s, there was another attempt on the World Trade Center with a truck bomb in the parking garage.
Yep.
So it was a target for a long time. And the fact that we let our guard down, whether it was because from the Clinton to the Bush administration, people will talk about how Clinton had an opportunity when it came to Osama bin Laden and wasn't able to follow through.
Yep, that's all out there too. Listen, 9/11, they were in our own schools, right? In Florida.
Yeah. Yeah.
That happened.
Yeah, someone wants to only do takeoffs.
Right.
You better call that into somebody. I'm pretty sure a lot of those aviation schools are better about it now.
Clearly, we were not. I can't believe we're talking about this right now, but we dropped the ball all day long. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And again, I think that's why Donald Trump's message is ringing so true for people who see so much violence around the world, from Munich to Orlando to the streets of Chicago. We talk about, I mean, we came up a lot in Donald Trump's speech about the number of people who are getting shot here, the police officers who are being murdered. People are afraid, and they want them to know that there's somebody who, you know, who swings a big bat, I guess.
Well, and that's the other side of it too, right? A lot of people will say, well, we need somebody who's tough.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Toughness could be argued would be actually trying to foster some understanding and not running around completely in terror every single day because you think something awful is going to happen. You're afraid to go outside.
Well, you want somebody who's not going to make things worse.
And
that seems to me the direction in which Donald Trump would take us.
Right. You wouldn't want to throw more gasoline on the fire.
Yes.
Which clearly. Is a strong possibility.
I have to agree. But, you know, you mentioned during the break, by the way, we talked last night about Michael Jordan, talking about, jumping into the fray. You felt like you should have been a little more vocal about his decision to come forward and say he was against. Well, he donated, was it $1 million to anti-violence and $1 million to police organizations for their safety?
Right. And you know, a lot of people are writing Mary Mitchell, the Sun-Times today, better late than never, Michael, and there's just some of this stuff, and I listen. Great that Mike stepped up and is joining the world, really the political world or the world that we all live in, and not just basketball and athletics, which by the way is my true passion in life. But I think it's cool that he's stepping up. But the other side of it is, like, some of the comments. You know, for 30 years I've been silent. As if, like, something's been bubbling inside of MJ that he's been holding for so long. He's never wanted to be a social activist.
And he's been very clear about that. Republicans buy gym shoes, too.
Right.
He didn't want to get politically involved. But he hasn't said anything about organizations for social injustice.
No, I would rather him say something along the lines of, you know, for years, I didn't think that this was something that I needed to be a part of.
Right.
And I really just wanted to play basketball, and I wanted to have my endorsements, and I wanted to enjoy my life. And now I see, as he was born, 63, as I enter my 54th year of life, that there really is something more out there, and I should be educating myself more, and I have been paying attention, and I would like to donate this. And I don't know exactly what my role will be going forward, but it's definitely going to be more involved than I have been. Rather than I can't stay silent after 30 years. Dude, you were not staying silent. You just weren't involved. You didn't care. And that's okay. There's a lot of people that don't care for a long time, then all of a sudden care. So,
well, but I also think he wasn't a very, as much as he's charismatic and was great to watch, he never struck me as somebody who was going to kind of go out. Like, Muhammad Ali was a bigger than life guy, right? And would take anything on, take any conversation. I mean, he was just enigmatic that way. You know, he was just so engaging and wanted to really dig in and have those. He was so smart, so funny. And I'm not saying that Michael Jordan doesn't have that depth, but I don't think that Michael Jordan has that depth. I'm actually saying it.
Well, okay, to Muhammad Ali level, no.
No.
But this is...
But at the peak of Michael Jordan's career, that would have been if you're going to think about it being quiet for 30 years, it would have been great. How much more impactful would it have been if at the height of his career he had taken a stand on something? Is that more of what you're thinking?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Or and express regret about that. Hey, I wish that I had been, more socially aware at that point. Or don't. But just like...
It's a thud. You're saying there's a resounding thud when this happens.
Yes, there's a genuineness and authenticity that I'm looking for Michael that is lacking. He was very... Listen, I can go back to being 11 years old, his rookie year, and...
Is he ruining your childhood?
No.
Are you one of...
He actually, like, saved my childhood in a lot of
ways.
I'm
just saying, retroactively, like, the new Ghostbusters movie seems to be ruining people's childhoods.
Right, okay. I missed that. My bad. There was a certain innocence to him when he first came into the league.
Yes.
And he was on 60 Minutes, and he was folding his laundry, and he was talking about being a bachelor, and how, you know, he thought that nobody would marry him. And, of course, then he had a million women, you know, all around him, and things changed.
And that didn't even matter.
But he was this really, like, wholesome, drink milk, and he never was caught up. Like, the Bulls at that time, when he came into the league, they were all druggies. Quentin Daly, mm-hmm. Orlando Orange, by the way, neither of those guys are still with us.
And we didn't know much about his gambling at the time.
Yeah, well, and then, right, and I don't care about that.
And then, the woman, being a player, a little bit.
I don't care about that either.
All right, then.
I mean,
okay.
Shouldn't have gotten married. But
yeah, if you want to keep dating, marriage is going to completely get in the way of that.
But he paid the price for that one. I think she got $175 million.
It's not bad.
I mean, that's...
Still, I mean, it could have been true love, and she's devastated.
I think she's okay. She's okay.
I think that soothed the wound.
I think she's doing okay.
The soothed the wound of true love.
From what I understand, I think she's fine.
Well, I'm sorry that Michael Jordan. I don't know. Since I don't, I'm not connected emotionally to him as a player or a playa. That's disappointing. Then. It just seems like, are you saying it seems like a hollow gesture?
A little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. I can't give him a ton of props. I hope he listen. Follow up. Do what.
Be persistent.
Right.
Don't just.
What Carmelo Anthony's doing, having a whole meeting out in Los Angeles, community leaders, mm-hmm. police officers, NBA guys, all meeting at the Boys and Girls Club, breaking off into 8 small groups. Hey, what are your issues? What are your issues? How do you feel when you see a police officer? How do you feel when you're walking around in the neighborhood? All that is...
But I don't see Michael Jordan having that sort of a personality.
No.
I mean, like Peanut Tillman, right?
How about this? He employs Carmelo. He's part of the Jordan brand. How about just show up? Mike came. Right. I'm not asking him to lead.
All right. Just show up. Follow.
Yeah, just be interested.
I don't see him being a follower either.
Yeah,
see him as being a what he said kind of guy. What that guy said. Now, I was going to say about Peanut, you know, what a great story about, you know, going through what he went as a father, mm-hmm. and then wanting to make sure that other families have, that comfort knowing that they're going to get through this.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, Charles went through a lot with his daughter. And
he's somebody who stepped up.
He did. He did, and I remember being at Children's Memorial Hospital when he first had the press conference announcing what he was up against, what his family was up against, what his daughter was up against. He was super genuine, and
Michael, be authentic.
Yeah, just be authentic.
But authentic means being yourself, right?
Yes.
So that maybe this is himself. That's Michael Jordan himself. What is that?
Michael.
You think
Jordan,
he's got more?
Yes, I do.
Okay, let's see what more. Carm has when we come back on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, joined by Mark Carmen, our very own sports guy. Can I call you our very own sports guy?
That'd be great. I love that. Thank you very much.
Nobody else can have you. Oh, wait, you do so many other shows. You've been doing a lot of early morning fill-ins on the Steve Cochran Show.
I do enjoy doing sports on the Steve Cochran Show, in for Dave Ennett.
How would you compare the atmosphere in this room compared to when you go in to do Steve Cochran Show?
Most definitely not the same.
There's a lot going on. They've got like the business reports, the ag reports. They've got weather traffic on all the times.
Well, you've got 2 producers on that show. You have one here. You have a co-host. Who's also doing news, and a news person, and Steve, who's not you. There's a difference there. You guys have slightly different personalities. Although that you guys are
best friends for more than 15 years.
Yeah,
very good friend.
I mean, if you were a male, maybe you would be Steve Cochran. If he was,
is the way in which he handles anything from humor to serious stories to tragedy. I mean, really, I know that you were on with him on a morning after something horrible happened.
Yeah, after the Dallas police shootings, I was on the next morning.
Yeah, that
happened over
overnight, right? It was still the story was breaking even as Jen Bosworth was here and Nick D was on the air. Yeah, he can really wrap his arms around something, and I think he has his own rage, and then he wants people to be able to feel like they have somewhere to put it to. It may not jive with everybody, but neither do I,
Right. I think Steve has an incredible talent to see both sides.
Yes.
Be reasonable in the middle, and
people would not agree. It's funny.
I know.
He's like me, where they'll accuse him of being the staunch conservative and having a liberal agenda, and I've been accused of the same. It's so strange.
Well,
people hear what they want to hear.
Absolutely. And listen, he's not going to, him,
row.
Anyone is going to say things that people are not going to agree with. That's part of the fun of talk radio, by the way.
Yes, it is. Let's see what happens.
That's how I see it.
Plus, we're just making up our... We're making it up as we go. You know, I'm coming up with my opinion as I'm talking. So latching in onto something and then making that something to attack is weird.
I'm the one exception to that. Everyone loves me.
Yes, that's true.
It's amazing.
You should see some of the posts about Ro Khan last week at the Republican convention. And then this last week, people were like, oh, I hope he's just as snarky with the Democrats as he's being disrespectful with the Republicans. And then today I read someone saying, well, this is just... You're not even reporting this accurately. It is not chaos there. How dare you make the Democrats look so bad? And I was like, wow. I mean, same guy.
Yes. People are on edge right now.
A little bit.
On every which side. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot at stake, right? Yeah.
Go to a baseball game. Can they go to a baseball game? How are tickets at Wrigley doing?
Tickets, I haven't...
Healthy sales, I'm guessing.
It's a huge crowd tonight.
And at the Cell?
At the Cell, yes. And there was, as last I checked, there was tickets available for Thursday at Wrigley. I'm sure if you go to the ballpark tomorrow, you'll be able to go up to the window at some point and tickets will be released.
I have not seen people posting. Usually on Facebook, you can see someone say, hey, I've got a couple tickets on the third, like anywhere, third baseline, bleachers. I have no friends that are selling their tickets.
Well, it's big. And you're going to get the debut of Aroldis Chapman tomorrow.
I heard.
We haven't talked about that, Patty.
People are disappointed.
Some are. Some are.
I didn't say all.
Yeah.
I just said people. Some is, it's a good way to put it.
Listening to Theo talk about it today, I kind of changed my tune. Cheapest seat tomorrow at Wrigley. It's a single ticket in row two of the outfield upper deck on StubHub. It's $50.
That's not bad.
Nope, that's not terrible.
You know these things. You know what these prices are like.
So if it's $50 online right now, that means if you go out there tomorrow, you might get in for $30.
You might get in. Oh, that's not bad.
Get in.
Get in. Get in. Oh, you might stand. Right. And the 1914 club, that you've been in there yet?
No, they're building it.
Oh, they're building it. Yeah. Still, yeah. Are you gone around and checked to see that the foundation is going along?
I've hung out with
structurally
them.
Sound.
Right.
I do think that 1914, I guess 1908 would be bad because that was the last time they won. They don't want to hook themselves onto... like this long history of losing. Is that why they went with 1914? I mean, well, I know it's when the year it was built, but they have to tell that story every time. The year it was built.
I think that's the only reason. I don't think 1914 from 1908 saves you a whole lot of heartache.
It doesn't save it, right? Wouldn't 1908 like that herald that? See, own it. Own the fact that we haven't won since 1908. No, everyone knows that number better.
No, let's repress that memory. Let's just get rid of that. Let's
we won in 1908 or that we haven't won
haven't
since?
Haven't won since. I think we should. I mean, I'm not a huge purveyor, if you will, of pill popping, but if we could all take a pill and forget that the Cubs haven't won since 08, I think that'd
be
better.
It's not possible. It's hard to shake that off.
There is the other side of it, though, that there's an identity in being the most pathetic.
Well, but this year it doesn't feel the most pathetic because we were up until a few weeks ago, we were doing so miraculously well. We were kicking ass and taking names.
But do you see the word you just used?
What?
Miraculous.
It doesn't even write. I know, yeah. But it felt so good because it was so different from all past seasons.
Right. It was.
Not since like maybe 1984, maybe the year with the Bartman ball. I don't know.
Those were the two best chances.
Those were the two shots. Is that really true? Is that all we've had? That sounds right.
Well, no,
it feels right.
They've had a lot more. 84.
The closest we've come.
Heartache. 89. Lost 4-1 to the Giants. 98. Swept by the Braves. 03.
See, the things you're
Bartman.
Painful.
07. Swept by the Arizona. 08. Swept by the Dodgers.
Okay, could you stop with the sweeping?
Last one, 15. Beat the Cardinals.
Beat the Cardinals. And then swept by?
The Mets. Yeah. And beat the Pirates. Beat the Pirates.
But swept
beat
by?
The Mets. The Mets.
Yeah, swept by the Mets. That was painful, too, this season.
The New York Mets.
At least we took one of the last series.
Right.
Yeah.
Cardinals had two games today. They won one, lost one to the New York Mets, so the Cubs are 6.5 up.
And what is our record looking like? How far ahead in first place are we?
We're 6.5 games up. The Cubs are 59-40. So, do the math, that's 19 games over .500.
Okay.
Which is better than 18 games over .500.
And when was the last time we did that well?
I mean, they won 97 games last year. Right. They basically didn't lose from August on. There's some things to be concerned with right now with the Cubs.
All right.
Jake,
fair enough. Are they cutting up their uniforms, though? That was so bizarre. I haven't seen any of the footage of that.
Did you ever throw a fit like that when you were 8-year-old Patty? No! Mom, I will not wear this.
Four, maybe.
Four?
Four, yeah. What do you think?
All right.
Look at that.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
This is it.
You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, joined by Mark Harmon, who has just come from the cell, and whatever happened there happened. I don't even need to know about it. I want to hear more about what's going on with the Democrats.
I think the Cubs lost.
Okay, I can't. Would you stop with that? Go put your...
Aren't you done for the night, yeah, Rob Martier?
Yeah, I'm no, he's got a lot of work to do.
Three Cubs, nothing.
Okay. Brandon Weatherby, do you follow baseball, Brandon?
Yes, I do.
So who's your team?
I grew up directly in the middle of both, and I actually do root for both. And for those that don't think you could have opposing ideas in your head.
We're not rolling our eyes at all, Brandon. Go ahead.
Feel free to roll your eyes, but that's what democracy is. It's compromise.
I told Carm off the air, I'm like, this guy is completely unbiased, does not tip his hat one way or the other, does not show his hand for who he has stronger feelings for. So apparently, we were talking about this earlier, he is the middleman.
Weatherby, I really want to connect with you. Where do you draw the line? What is something that you're passionate about? I love this, but I hate that.
Scrambled eggs or sunny side up, you know?
Nirvana, Guns N' Roses. Nirvana is great, and they spoke for women's rights, and they raised a lot of money for Bosnian rape victims, and Guns N' Roses is full of cocaine. So, yeah, Nirvana over Guns N' Roses.
All right.
Okay. Asked and answered. Well, here, I need to take a call from a listener who wanted to talk about baseball real quick. Do you mind, Brandon?
Sure.
Chris, what did you want to talk about?
Hey, Patty, I wanted to know if you guys heard about the new pitch that Chris Sale put in his repertoire.
Oh, here comes the... Here comes,
what is it?
Yes? A cutter.
A cutter. So he's gonna start throwing scissors. Excellent.
Were you the guy on the south side that was wearing the ripped Chris Sale jersey that was all stitched together?
That was funny.
No, but I was very happy to see my brother and do that.
There you go. Thanks, Chris. Have a good night.
As a former employee of the Chicago White Sox and as someone that grew up as a Chicago White Sox fan, we don't have the best record when it comes to blades. Don't throw this Chris Sale thing over the edge here. A Sox fan stabbed an umpire in the past. So, like,
what?
Let's cool it with the... Yeah, that happened. That's why there's not a lot of Crosstown Classic games when there's the Sox night game and a Cubs day game, because a guy ran into the cell and stabbed an umpire because he didn't like a call against the Royals. This is like 06. So let's cool it with the Chris Sale and the scissors here.
You don't remember William Legue, Patty, when William Legue and his younger son, younger Legue, ran on the field. I think they were playing the Royals, and they were down the first. They were down the first baseline. They just jumped out in the field and tacked an umpire. Way to go, Legue.
Yeah. Go ahead, Brandon.
So yeah, the Sox don't have a great record with scissors. So
okay.
If I were a Sox fan, I would not bring that up all of the time.
Okay, I'm done. That was my last throwing scissors.
No, you're a Cubs fan. Go nuts. Do
okay.
What you want. I'm just saying, Sox fans are bringing this up. That's a bad idea.
Well, what have you seen? What's going on? Well, first, let me ask. I forgot to ask our other guests earlier about protests. Let me start there. In Philly, are there protesters? Because I know that they were trying to get some momentum, but I'm not hearing anything about it.
There are way more protests compared to Cleveland.
Really?
But there are very few protests in Cleveland. Does that make sense?
Yes. No.
It's still not what
Pockets.
You would expect.
Right.
There's no real good thing to get behind. In the news report in the last segment, you guys mentioned that Bernie had 46% of the vote. And if you know how math works, that does not mean you win anything. That means you lost. So, sure, Bernie didn't get the support of the DNC. When has the DNC ever won anything for anybody? If the DNC actually controlled elections, Hillary would have been the nominee of 2008. So it doesn't matter. That's
okay.
Not how that works.
But that's the bulk of the protesting you're seeing?
Most of the protesting are pro Bernie, and that's fine, and they have every right to. And it's interesting that here's the interesting thing about all of this: Bernie is an independent, and Bernie never was a Democrat until he entered the race to become the Democratic nominee for president. And
exactly.
Then today he said he's going to caucus yet again as an independent. So if you're a Bernie supporter, good for Bernie. You got a lot of your ideals into the DNC platform. That's really, really impressive. You were never part of that thing. If you're Debbie Wasserman Schultz and you just really always hated Bernie, which you kind of sort of did, you should have never let him in. That being said, overall, it was probably a net gain for the party to have some diverse voices and to get some people out that maybe would have never voted for either candidate. So
yeah,
it's not the
they
worst
fired
thing
up.
In the world.
Right.
But it doesn't really matter. I mean, it matters in the fact that it got a lot of younger people fired up, and that's cool. But we have no idea how that's going to relate to November.
And what was your take on the speeches? Let's start with last night, because everyone was very excited. Everyone was fired up about Michelle Obama's speech. A lot of, you know, they go low. Esmeralda?
We go high.
We go high. I'm trying to make that a call and response, but no one's jumping in with me yet.
Well, that's the thing. Michelle Obama doesn't speak in one-syllable phrases, and that's the problem with that. That's what really worked at the RNC. It's lock her up. Michelle didn't do that. Michelle really didn't even – she literally did not mention Trump. Michelle, a part of me in the back of my mind was thinking, like, why didn't they just run Obama or Biden in 2016? But it was Michelle and Dr. Jill Biden. But obviously they have no desire to do this. They are more important. They don't care. That being said, clearly the favorite. And tonight, oh, wow, Bill owned that stage. I was in the room for that one. He owned it. No heckles, no nothing. It was, like, legit impressive regardless of the side of your aisle you're on. He is in order, and he is really good at his job.
How long did he speak for?
That's a great question. You know what? That's the thing. It didn't feel long. My guess is 40.
Okay. That is decent.
Probably longer. I wasn't timing it. I think the video package started around 9:05, 9:10.
Okay.
And around 9:40, he was done. Here's a little observation. It's very opinionated. The DNC needs to stop with the celebrities, man. You don't need to,
Eva Longoria. I'm sorry. Well, let me just ask Esmeralda for a second. Did you see Eva Longoria last night?
I didn't, but now I'm a
I know.
What is she doing there?
Actually, she said some interesting things. She talked about being a ninth-generation American. Yeah.
She did. She did say interesting things. I'm not so much about Eva. I'm talking about the video package after.
Oh.
I understand that they needed to strike the stage to organize things, and I get that.
Right.
But come on. You have so – who does the RNC have? They have Scott Baio and Anthony Sabato Jr. Well, good for them.
Right.
Good for them. But
sure.
That's it. Come on. So pretty much everyone you've listened to and seen on screen that you've enjoyed in the last ever is a Democrat. So we got it. Don't worry about it. I don't think that's winning any voters. I don't think it's swaying anybody one way or the other. It's just, it feels like a commercial. I don't think it's good. Unlike, say, the Black Lives Matter movement and the mothers of fallen people on stage. I think that's really good optics that might change some minds. So less celebrities, more substance, but maybe that's just because I'm here. You know what I mean?
Who do we get you in front of to help them change the last 2 days of the convention?
What do you mean?
To make sure that they don't do that much, that they kind of pull back on the celebrity. I'm just wondering, can we get this done? Can we put you in the right place?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I mean, no.
It's all locked in.
Most people like powerful people, and these are the most powerful people. So, yeah, I'm going to go to the convention with two ex-presidents. One ex-president, a current president, and a potential future president, rather than Donald Trump and Bob Dole. I mean, of course you're going to get celebrities at this thing. It only makes sense.
For the record, by the way, per YouTube, just looking at it, Bill Clinton, full entire speech at the Democratic National Convention, 43 minutes and 21 seconds.
That's decent.
I was pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Good on that.
You were very good on that. And I think that's what Hillary should aim at, is about 40, 45. You go beyond that. 77 minutes. How was that 77 minutes last week with Donald Trump?
The fact that I was able to go inside and outside of the arena multiple times, I don't think it's going to happen again.
Were you taking potty breaks?
No, I wanted to see who was actually like fired up, and no one was fired up. I think Hillary should do what every speechwriter says is smart to do 15, 20, and she won't. No one does that. Obama did 40, between 40 and 50. Hopefully, the less is more in this situation. So the fact that Hillary is not even like up by double digits is crazy to anyone that follows this.
With a lead?
So,
right.
Yes, with a lead. Less is more. I mean, listen, I love the WWE, but, like, I didn't think this would be the WWE Hall of Famer running for office. I thought that would be Arnold Schwarzenegger, not Donald Trump. So, whatever. I mean, if you've already made up your mind about Hillary. You've already made up your mind up about Donald Trump. This is the first time in anyone's lives where both candidates have been known for 20-plus years in the public sphere. No one is going to be convinced. So, I kind of don't know why we're doing it.
It's a good point.
312-981-7200. I want to hear from somebody who is keeping an open mind and watching both conventions. There has to be somebody out there.
Young people, maybe, but like, I think there's just mostly liars. I think there are people that say like, oh, I'm not going to switch to Hillary. I'm not going to switch to Trump. Yes, you are. You either like your ticket or you don't. You know who these people are and you follow politics, or you don't pay attention and you might vote that day just because. That doesn't mean this convention is changing anyone's mind. I think things like carpool karaoke and lip syncing with Fallon is going to do more for the general election than anything like this, which is very different than how it used to be. Not good or bad, just different.
I think maybe from a Democratic standpoint, people were so hopeful there was going to be this massive change with Obama, And the reality is that he's one guy. The president can't do everything. And maybe people just don't feel like energized to go out and vote. Like, I just feel like a malaise with the Democrats right now, Brandon. I don't know if you see it like that.
I understand your point, and I think a lot of Democrats feel that way. But if I have a warped view because I live in Washington, D.C. So if you live in Washington, D.C. and you came into your adulthood with Obama as your president, you understand how things work and the intricacies of the office. Like, oh, yeah, he's literally followed up on every single thing he's promised. Things have gotten in the way. I mean, I don't think anyone wants Guantanamo open. Yet it's open. That's not a good thing. I don't think anyone's like, yay, we should drone bomb everyone. But things happen.
I don't know. I think there are people who think that. Who
I know one of them.
I don't think the majority of Americans want death and destructions on their hands. I think the majority of Americans want good, positive, hopeful messages and actual hopeful change. And
that's
very difficult to accomplish. And I think with the majority. Okay, I don't want to go crazy here. I don't want to make this into a right-wing versus a left-wing thing, but I think there are a lot of people that have some coded language behind their messages, and that's not a good thing to make a country better. And I think it's a lot easier to pull things back rather than push things forward, regardless of the side of the aisle you're on. So,
I think that Donald Trump has taken it farther from coded language and just saying it. I think he's taken
away. And I love that. I absolutely adore that. I want to know exactly where you stand. I don't think Donald Trump is hiding anything other than his tax returns, but the fact that he's hiding his tax returns means it says a lot. Does that make sense?
It does say a lot. And now, of course, there are rumors that, well, maybe it's going to show that he does have a relationship with the Russians, that he has investments.
Sure.
In their-
but why is that surprising? I mean, he worked with Putin on beauty pageants. That's not a hidden thing. He tweeted about that. He's not ashamed of it, nor should he be. Good for him. Should he be up for office? That's up to the public to decide.
And a lot of people are deciding that he, you know, is their nominee, is their guy. They want him to be president. How can I put it? You know, the difference in urgency, I guess, is the best way compared to last week in the Republican convention. Does it seem like people are more pumped up there or in Philly?
People are definitely more pumped up here, for sure.
Okay.
But are they pumped up to vote Hillary or are they pumped up to, say, Bernie, even though I'm not part of a Democratic Party and I didn't get enough votes and blah, blah, blah. It's definitely more energized here, but is it more likely to get voters? I don't know. It's really difficult to tell. Philadelphia is a much bigger city than Cleveland. The way the convention itself is run is not nearly as good. And this is all the stuff that is behind the scenes. The actual, like, the media side of it and the delegate side of it, Philly is not as good as Cleveland. That being said, if you're a delegate and you want to see your person speak and you don't care about all the other stuff, this is a better city. The logistics behind this do not make much sense compared to Cleveland. In Cleveland, it was all in one area. It was wonderful. This is like going to something at Soldier Field, and then you get all the way to the United Center to do the daytime stuff and back and forth. It doesn't make sense. Philly is not a good city to have this in. I feel like conventions should only be in a smaller city with, like, one centralized downtown stadium. I think that would
like
really
college towns.
People.
College towns sound perfect for
college
this.
College towns would be great. I think a Nashville would be great. Memphis would be great. Go back to Cleveland. That would be great. Ann Arbor would be great. Go to college town. That makes sense to me because also with these college towns, they have dorms. And unlike, it just makes sense. For a city like this, it's like Philly's great, but there's always people in Philly. New York City is great. There's always people there. Chicago doesn't need this. Think of a mid-sized city that needs this that's all centralized, and that's
how do we get Champaign-Urbana on this one?
Yeah, exactly. Champaign-Urbana would be way better than Chicago for a political convention. I don't think they should do that. I'm just saying compared to the two.
Yes.
But so that it's really hard to gauge anything because what you're seeing on television, for example, MSNBC is over 2 miles away from where the stadium is, and they're about a half mile to a mile away from the convention center. And the convention center has the majority of the stuff during the day. So it's really hard to get around. It's a really hard... It's difficult to say. This is the feeling of the city, unlike Cleveland, where everything was in one area. It was very easy to gauge.
I'm going to recommend Austin, Texas, even though it's a little bit south, but it's just a
no.
I completely agree. Austin is perfect. The fact that they can handle stuff in Southwest, it totally makes sense. Austin would be a great city for a convention.
And I want to correct ourselves from way the start of this conversation. It wasn't an umpire that the Lagoos attacked. It was Kansas City Royals first base coach Tom Gamboa. So you stayed for the whole conversation. I had that wrong. Tom Gamboa.
Were there people texting you?
There was one text, yes, and I have double-checked.
What was the year? Was it 06?
2002, September 19th.
Wow.
Deadspin really does a great job of writing things up. Two shirtless buffoons charged onto the field during the Royals and White Sox.
Yeah, and if memory serves correct, they went to a Cubs game during the day.
Well, and this article, this article is written in 2009. The younger kid is now 22, and he's writing stuff like, "Me and my dad F up that coach from Kansas City," like he's proud of it 7 years later. Way to go, Lagoos. They've really come a long way, the Lagoo family.
We don't need a punch down, let's be honest. Come on. We're all better than the Lagoons. Maybe we should do better to encourage our people that have first baseline tickets at the Chicago White Sox games to not stab other opponents' coaches.
Highly encouraged.
The Lagoons. I like it.
Well, Brandon Weatherby, I don't want to keep you too long because it is now 1:20 something in your part of the world.
Oh God, it's so late.
It's so very late.
I've been up for 21 hours.
When have you really? Oh my God, go to bed. Go to bed. We'll talk about where you're staying tomorrow. Go run. Take care of yourself.
Okay.
Talk to you tomorrow. I'll try to do it earlier.
Have a good one, guys.
Good night, Brandon Weatherby.
Thanks, Brandon.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Oh, you know what I forgot? What's his Instagram and his Twitter account?
At YMTE.
It's at YMTE.
Mm-hmm.
You, me, them, everyone. Everybody.
Yes.
You, me, them, everybody. I'm sorry, Brandon's still on hold. I probably could have just asked him. I could have done that. Brandon, what's your...
was I right?
Yeah. I think you're right.
No, she's completely right. I was just saying how I like Esmeralda as a human being. And tell your friends that you like them as a human being. That will make the world a better place. I'm trying to end this on a positive message.
Yeah.
Positive everything.
I back that.
Great. People that work at WGN give her money because she's fantastic at her job. Also, your ads are way better than the 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. ad. You have premier ads on your show, Patty.
Hold on a second. I got a couple bucks in my purse. I will send that up to Esmeralda.
Fantastic.
I promise. Thank you, Brandon. I still owe you a per diem.
How's it going, guys? Thank you.
Thank you. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I'm joined by Mark Carmen. In the studio, we have Brandon. What did I say? Brandon was on the line just a moment ago. Esmeralda is up in traffic. Craig Collins in the producer's booth, and you're running off. You're done for the night with us.
I am. I'd like to apologize for leaving, even though
it's
I know it's totally fine. But
I'm grateful for your time.
I've been taking care of my brother's dog. Hashtag Luna the dog.
Luna the dog. Does Luna the dog go by Luna the dog or just Luna?
Luna the dog goes by Luna.
Okay.
But sometimes I do look at Luna the dog at the start of my day, and I just look at her and say, "You're Luna the dog."
And how does Luna the dog react to the full name?
So Luna the dog is 6 months old and, a puppy.
Mm-hmm.
And I shared this on the beat over the weekend. She wouldn't go down the stairs. I live on the second floor of a three-story condo building.
She's got to be carried.
So I had to carry her down. Now... expert parenting, yours truly, she's sprinting down the stairs. She's all fired up.
How did you accomplish that?
Just a little couple treats here and there. And then one day she like ran up the stairs to the third floor. I'm like, okay, if you ran up there, I know you can run back down. And she did. And then she just went all the way down. I'm like, okay, Luna, let's go. So that was an accomplishment. But today I came back, Patty, and I was so excited to see good old Luna, who stays in her crate when I'm gone, which I feel terrible about, but that's just the way it is.
That's the way it is.
I mean, she's gonna eat the furniture. So
yeah, I think that's a good choice then.
You know, I was so proud of Luna for being in the crate so long, which she's been there now for about 6 hours. But I gave her the Luna sugar up, pees everywhere, just starts.
I do that if you shake me too hard. That's gonna happen. Don't ever shake me too hard.
I mean,
like a head shake,
I mean,
or
was,
like a bit full body rub. What is this? It's a.
I mean, I just gave a little. I'm like, no. Okay, let's go outside.
Oh, so you did it before with the walk. You gotta do the walk first, and then the greeting.
Yeah, it did, I don't think it had anything to do with like really having to go to the bathroom. She just got a little excited.
I'm amazed that doesn't happen to you more, Mark Carmen.
What?
People just so excited to meet you.
Excitement.
They pee themselves.
Are you saying, Esmeralda, when I see you for the first time, like at 3 a.m, you just start peeing?
Just a little bit.
Yeah, that's great.
Oh, there. That's good to know. I feel kind of left out, but that's all right. So you're going to go back and take care of Luna the dog,
because
Luna the dog is on a schedule.
Luna the dog is on the schedule, yes. I'm going to drive home. I'm going to listen to you, Patty, and then maybe I'll put the WGN radio app on.
Okay.
We're going to walk around the neighborhood, take Luna the dog out, and then we're going to do early morning wake up.
How early is the wake up, first of all?
Tomorrow is 5:30.
For work or for Luna?
I have a morning call. That's how I start my day right now.
Are you an early riser no matter what?
No.
No,
it's brutal. But
well,
I am acclimating to it. So pushing the envelope here is so yes. This one though.
Will you nap during the day? No.
At my desk, and it's not. it would be inappropriate. Is that Carm sleeping again? Just a second. My video is uploading. Can't you see?
You know, like I'm working. I'm just taking a break. I'm resting my eyes. What kind of dog is Luna?
Luna is a Labradoodle.
Oh, Labradoodles are nice. Did your brother go to a breeder?
Yeah, I think that
don't,
they
people are going to get mad, but don't, I mean,
yeah, no,
hey,
I
choices are made.
Well, if we're really going there, it was not my brother. It was my sister-in-law who wanted a dog that didn't shed. Mm-hmm. So they got the Labradoodle.
Because poodles don't shed, but Labradors do. So
I
you combine the two.
Right. This isn't great dog. Love Luna. Sweet dog. Not the dog I would get.
Not the dog you would
get. No, just give me a lab. Let's have some.
You're so annoyed by the Labradoodle. Is it because Luna's a Labradoodle or because you have to say Labradoodle?
It's because.
Yeah. A little bit of both?
The poodles just are neurotic. They have a neurotic.
That is not true. Not all poodles are neurotic.
Esmeralda? Okay, fine.
I had a poodle. She was little. Well, she was a schnoodle.
So tell me she wasn't neurotic?
She was not neurotic. She was not neurotic at all. She was spectacular.
Okay, maybe there's a great chance that my brother, sister-in-law, and niece have just done a bad job raising this dog.
Does she trot around thinking she's the best thing ever?
They do that.
She's
yeah,
got
Pepper,
some of that going on.
Pepper used to do that. I love that. She would just
she wants
this little bouncer
I mean,
step.
Whatever. She's 6 months old. It's a dog. She really literally wants to eat everything.
All the time.
From the pillow to the carpet to any stick to grass to nasty
Once
cigarettes.
Once she's finished eating everything, she'll mellow out.
Am I supposed to? What am I supposed to do when they're eating a cigarette?
You
gotta get rid of that. No, especially because of the filter.
What about a stick? What am I supposed to do on a stick?
Let them chew on the stick.
Yeah.
What
happens
if they get swung? Okay.
Right, yeah, watch for splinters.
Fine.
They're dogs.
How long are you watching Luna?
Got Luna till Monday.
Okay, so you're almost there. You got
Not
five,
really.
Six more days.
Today I was just counting the minutes. I'm like, okay. And I love dogs. I'm a huge dog fan. But
this is too much.
The young poodle is it's a challenge. It's a little bit. This is good for me.
You're a good man. You're a good brother.
Thanks, Patty.
And brother-in-law for taking care of Luna the dog. We will talk to you later.
Okay, Patty.
All right, be safe. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Kind of wishing my guest on the line would be in studio with me, but he's in Philadelphia. Comedian Will Durst joins us. How you doing, Will?
Yeah, one or the other.
I
would love to be in the studio, but then I wouldn't be in Philadelphia.
I know. I miss having you here. I haven't been through town too recently, but next time you come through, please promise that you'll come see us.
I would love to. How's everything going?
Very well. I was going to try to steal the WGN fan van and drive to Philadelphia, partly to see you, but, you know, to take in everything. You know, history's being made, and I started getting a little bit weepy about that on Monday and thought I really should have been there. How is it going for you?
Well, the DNC I was also in Cleveland, and even though it's a little hotter in Philadelphia, about 10 degrees warmer, it was 90. In Cleveland and humid, but then on Monday, yesterday, it was 100 degrees in Philadelphia. And then, of course, the lovely heat index told me that, no, you actually feel like it's 107, which was like 145 for me. But
yes.
A big difference between Cleveland and Philadelphia, a lot more comfortable shoes here.
A lot more comfortable shoes?
Yeah, a lot of stiletto, a lot of heels at the RNC, more suits, more gray ponytails here, a lot of people of color,
okay,
a lot of diversity. Yeah, at the RNC, I think they had one black guy in the audience, and they kept using different camera angles on him.
Did you see the picture of people holding Latinos for Trump? I don't know if I saw this, but there were a lot of white people holding signs that said Latinos for Trump.
I was thinking that maybe they were, because there are some blonde Latinos.
These were, there are, yes, but these were all of them were blonde.
Yeah, I don't think they were.
It was a little strange. Sorry, go ahead, Will.
Yeah, wasn't it funny that they had to fill the stage with Trumpses? I mean, it was, I think that's the plural, Trumpses.
Trumpses?
Yeah, because they didn't have any Republican heavyweights. So.
Well, and that's something that our friend Brandon mentioned, was that the, you know, one of the things that's different here are the celebrities that keep coming out compared to Scott Baio and Antonio Sabato last week. There's a couple more celebrities. What is it about show business that that so many more of them are Democrats?
No idea. Artists, I guess.
Artists, yeah.
Artists and educated people, yeah.
Well, I mean, and by the way, for anyone who wants to get mad about that, I believe Donald Trump himself said, "I love the poorly educated."
He did.
He did say that.
Because it's his base, yes.
There you go. What did you think about Sarah Silverman's, I mean, there's a little bit of anger toward her when she said that you're being ridiculous to Bernie Sanders supporters.
Yeah, I think Dana Gould had the best line. I don't know if you saw it. He tweeted it out. Dana Gould said, Bernie Sanders supporters are mad at Bernie Sanders for not being Bernie Sanders enough. But she was great. The comedian who saved the party, she did get them shut up. And a lot of them were part of the California delegation.
That were the loudest.
What happened was there was a party right before the delegates went down on the floor, and it was an open bar, and a lot of the California delegation got blotto, and that might have contributed to the whole Bernie thing. So,
well, and I had a friend
who shut him up.
Huh?
I think she may have shut him up or started to.
Well, she got them mad. I know friends of mine who online were very angry. They were like, she should have been uniting. And I don't think people understand our role as comics. It's actually in our description to be disruptive, isn't it? I mean, like, that's why we get it. We don't get it to play along. We don't get it. We don't do this because we play well with others.
We're the canaries in the coal mine, they call it.
I think so. We'll let you know how it is.
We're going to die of oxygen deprivation.
How good was it to see Al Franken up there?
He was great.
I believe.
He was great.
Yeah. He's well-versed in megalomaniacs. And
it was very funny. They asked him if he thought he was going to be the VP nominee last week. He said, geez, I don't know. I don't think so, because they haven't vetted me. And I think, you know, after the Sarah Palin thing.
And over the weekend, when did you get there? On Sunday?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was when the story broke with the WikiLeaks, was the DNC leaks. How chaotic did things get on Sunday?
It was kind of crazy because, you know, I mean, they all said that Donald Trump, his number one job last week was to unite the party. And the good news is he did. The bad news is the party he united were the Democrats. And that lasted for, what, 72 hours?
Right.
And then the WikiLeaks thing came out. And it turns out that the DNC did have a plot to keep Bernie down. So just because you're paranoid doesn't mean that people aren't out to get you.
It doesn't mean you're wrong. But what do you think? What do you think about? I mean, I'm not well versed on what it means to run the party, a political party. I mean, I don't know how many people are well versed at that. But, you know, I guess that people get very, you know, people get their favorites. Can't you have your favorites? And then, you know, plot against them. And
well, can't you root for the Democrat to win the Democratic Party nomination?
Well, and that's, I think, do you think that lends itself to why people resent Hillary? It's one of the other elements of somehow that she was anointed all along. She was having Bernie in the race for so long did force a conversation, did move the issues to the left, right? There was that.
Yeah, yes. Hillary did move a little to the left. Bernie did the party a great service. But a lot of it is misogynistic. I mean, there's still people, Democrats, who don't believe that, you know, women, that the only good part of having a woman president is we only have to pay her 78% or $400,000 a year.
That was, I think, one of my favorite moments last week was, I believe, it was Donald Trump's daughter saying that, you know, the pay gap isn't because of gender, it's because of motherhood. And I thought, she does know that all mothers are women, right? So that would still kind of inherently make it a gender issue.
Because of motherhood, yeah.
That's the thing that's causing the disparity.
And they are so blonde, aren't they?
Oh, it's very nice dresses, though. And she immediately had the link for how to shop for that dress and the shoes right after the convention was over. Yeah.
I bet she did, yeah.
What kind of...
They're merchants, you know? That's what they are. They're He's going to make money off of this.
Oh, you think?
He said that. He said that was his goal. He told Fortune magazine, I may be the first person ever to run and make money off of this.
Well, that's if we all have to have goals. If, you know, if having what you have isn't enough, you know, I don't know how much more you got to do except for run for president of the United States.
But it was good to see Bill Clinton tonight, wasn't it?
It was. Well, you've seen this all. You've seen all the speeches, I'm guessing, at both conventions. Where there's, which ones do you skip?
Most of them.
you just go for the headliners.
Bill and Michelle, definitely.
Yeah, because everyone's loving Michelle's speech from last night. I did not get to see Bill's speech, but I'm hearing great things.
Oh, it wasn't as good as his speech 4 years ago for Barack Obama.
Ooh, that's awkward.
Yeah, he was a secretary explaining stuff, and he really it was called the arithmetic speech, and he did a great job of just bringing things home for Barack Obama, and so that's what Michelle kind of did yesterday. But it was weird because they had Bernie scheduled to go on before Michelle Obama, and then because the Bernie people wouldn't shut up, they decided to push Michelle up front, let Bernie headline. And you know what that's like, you know, with the headliner thing. And, and she had kind of written a headliner set, you know, so she had a lot more, she had a lot more punch and pow and, you know, have to follow all these loud opening acts. And then they made her the opening act and nobody could follow her. And it's a weird room, too. So, but they had Elizabeth Warren couldn't follow her, and Bernie didn't really, you know, he wasn't the Bernie-est. And, you know, we needed a Bernie-est at that point.
He was not doing a great job of being his Bernie-est. But I thought he did a nice job of thanking his supporters, of talking about all the hard work and what that accomplished. I wanted to talk a little bit about Cory Booker because people loved his speech. I couldn't get past the voice. Is it me or do a lot of speakers not know how to let the equipment work for them, the microphone?
Yeah, they kind of yell. They're used to rooms where they can't be heard in the back. Howard Dean did a reprise tonight of his famous scream in the Des Moines, Iowa. What was that? A hangar? I think it was an airplane hangar. He did a reprise of that tonight.
Yeah, because anytime he's giving a speech, people have to kind of be expecting that. That is such a strange moment in time, considering all the things that someone like Donald Trump or even Sarah Palin or whoever says, all these like caustic, crazy things. And that was the thing that took care of Howard Dean's career, was just that one yelp.
Yeah. And I've been in that room that he was in because I was there when Al Gore had his victory party in Iowa, like 4 years before that. And that's a big frickin' room.
Right.
And, you know, how he came across on TV was totally different how he came, I imagine how he came across in the room.
Right, because he was trying to ramp up because he was doing all the states and then the White House and sort of send it home. But the big speaking moment tonight was Bill Clinton. And I saw the very beginning of it when he started talking about his wife. Do you, when you know, having been at the Republican National Convention and now being in Philly, are you following the social media feeds to see what people are saying, what kind of comments they make? Because I could just see people saying all kinds of things about Bill being a womanizer, being a player, and while he's trying to describe his love affair with his wife. Did you follow any of that?
He did make some sort of oblique reference to it.
He did.
In the speech. You know, I think it was something about the heartache that I caused, or she never turned her back on me or something like that. So he did touch on it, you know, just ever so briefly. He didn't run with it as a theme or anything. But
he touched.
Remember, you're not old enough to remember, but in 92 when he was first running, they were selling themselves as a 2-for-1 deal. And you don't hear that much anymore.
Well, and that was the first time I remember her stirring up some controversy, was when she said, "Don't expect me to stay home and make cookies." That was the first time I remember the hate for Hillary, which I think she was saying, hey, you can't take that, I guess, without going, oh, she's not going to stay home. But everyone took it as a slam against women who make cookies.
Do stay home and make cookies, yeah. And I don't think I'm pretty sure that's not what she meant.
But it doesn't. Apparently, it doesn't matter. Well, Will, I know you've got a long day ahead of you tomorrow, and everyone should be following you on Facebook and your adventures as you are at Philadelphia at the Democratic National Convention. And let us know if you want to touch base with us at all the rest of the week. Let us know.
Yeah, well, definitely. Maybe on Thursday is a wrap.
I would love that. All right, let's talk on Thursday.
All right.
Thank you, sir. Have a good night.
Bye, baby.
Bye.
Thanks.
I'll try. That's comedian Will Durst, who is in Philadelphia, just getting a little bit of his perspective on the Democratic National Convention. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Sometimes I think about downloading this Gas Buddy app, where you can find out where the cheapest gas prices are near you. And I, you know what? Even if I had that app, I would still end up at the last minute having to run to the most expensive gas station because I forgot to do it earlier. I didn't realize that there's a Costco at South Ashland and 14th Place where gas is only $2.05. That's pretty good. But Esmeralda, do I want to go to...
Is it on your way?
No.
Yeah, see, pre-planning. I can't do that.
It's all about routing. It's all about routing. Craig, how much does it cost typically to fill up your Jeep Cherokee? Would you say? Is that?
Oh, I'm sorry. My microphone wasn't on. Look at that. I can only fill it halfway because of the gas leak. So I can only put 10 gallons in it.
There's also a gas leak?
Yeah, there's always been a gas leak. When I bought the car, I brought it home and I filled it up. And then the next morning I woke up to a puddle. Oh. So I brought it back to the dealership and I was like, hey, there's a puddle. And they're like, yeah, it looks like you got a gas leak.
No.
Yeah. So you can put 10 gallons in that baby. So that's about $25-$30, I guess.
So you have to put a half a tank so it doesn't leak as much?
No. Yeah. If I put any over, I think 11 gallons, it just starts leaking.
Oh, boy. Like duct tape. That seems like, have you tried duct tape yet?
I've asked. Yeah. I wore and checked it out. It was almost impossible to fix.
Oh, man.
Yep.
This one's not bad. Irving and Pulaski, that's $2.26. What are you paying for gas, Craig? I can't remember what.
Well, there's a spot right around my house that's about $2.50 because I half filled up today. Mm-hmm. So I got that. $2.50, $2.60, something like that. $2.50,
right. That's about what I think I'm paying for gas.
Yeah.
Well, and then I think some of these, on this Gas Buddy, what I've noticed, it doesn't always, this one says cash. So, when it says cash, I'm out of luck. If I have to run in and pay cash, I'm at the pump kind of gal.
Or you have to buy a car
wash.
The other day, I paid for gas with my credit card, and the gas started working, so I assumed I paid for it. The guy at the pump next to me ran around and said, no, stop. I just paid cash, and he put it into your pump. So then someone had to come out and, like, charge me. It was weird. And then they gave me the difference in money between his fill-up and my...
That's where I'd be standing there going, I'm sorry, work this out again for me.
Right. No, and the clerk was like, we're going to charge you $45. And I'm like, but I have $11 of gas here.
Right.
And they're like, and we're just going to give you the money. And I go, that seems
like how they clear out your bank account.
Right. This seems really inappropriate. I haven't checked the credit card since, so I don't know. I hope I'm fine.
I think you're fine. Also check your credit card.
Okay.
Yeah. That seems like that might be a little bit dangerous. Let me see. At Harlem and Belmont, it's $2.19. It doesn't say that it has to be with cash. 312-981-7200. Do these sound low or am I just not getting gas lately? My husband fills up the tank a lot.
Well, it's in the city of Chicago.
Yeah, but these...
Once you get out into the burbs, it's a little cheaper.
Is it cheaper? But
yeah.
This North Harlem and Belmont is in the city. It's the northwest side. And South Kedzie, 7700 South Kedzie and 77th Street, which I guess is implied by... I don't really know how the numbered streets work on the south side, but that seems to make sense right there. I can see why people... I'm always trying to figure out, what's the cross street? And I'll have people tell me, like, what 100 block is that? And they'll know the cross street. Are you that good, Esmeralda? Like, if you know, the 5100 and what the cross street is, like at...
No, I'm learning, though.
Are you?
I know where I'm at. I'm at Montrose, mm-hmm. And it's 4400.
Okay, that makes sense.
So I at least know that much.
So 4400...
West, I don't know.
4400, and is that... Right, okay.
I'm around Kedzie.
Kedzie.
I don't know what Kedzie is.
I am terrible with the streets and the numbers.
Chris called back to say, Chris from Midway, said that at Southwest Highway in Harlem, it is 196.
Really?
Under $2.
Well, the gas buddy says it's $1.93. I haven't seen where that is, but maybe it's out by Midway. See, that's that is impressive. By the way, with the Prius, I bought a used Prius, and it cost me $22 to fill it up, and that goes for about 12 days.
Ooh, that's like 1998 prices.
It's very exciting. I have to say, I love the way my Prius drives. It's 2010, and I have had other cars. I've had a 2000 CR-V. An 89 Honda Civic, and now a 2005 Odyssey, and the 2010 Prius is my favorite car.
That car seems brand new.
It's very cool.
Spotless brand new.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have guessed it was a 2010.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun to drive. I don't know why. There's something about the, and it gets so quiet though.
Does that not freak you out?
Yes, it does, because when people are walking in the middle of a parking lot, they were here down at the WGN lot. There were two women just right in the middle of the aisle, and I didn't want to honk at them because that seemed startling, but I realized because my car is so quiet, I was just like rolling behind them, so trying to get to the
end. Your car is a good stalking car?
It's a very good, it would be very jarring if they had just stopped and looked around, because I was trying not to be too close. You know, when people are walking, if you're in a parking lot, go to the side, assume
your car could like rob a museum.
I could rob a museum.
That's amazing.
Your car could be a new Christine.
Oh.
I could see it doing that. Oh.
By the way, from the 708 in Hickory Hills, 196 at Speedway.
I don't even know where Hickory Hills is. I think that's west.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing. I have to Google Hickory Hills. I don't know if I would go there for that. I don't know if I would go to Midway, because it would seem that driving there would consume the gas that I'm saving, right? The money that I'm saving on gas.
I don't know about for you. It sounds like you get a lot of miles on that Prius, too.
I really do.
Yeah.
Now, you know what I should do? I should just drive to Hickory Hills, see how far it is.
There you go.
See how much gas I burn. Mm-hmm. I do. I absolutely. I don't know why I like it so much. Plus, I think it's also, you get this diagram of like when the battery is being used and when you're using fuel. And I watch that chart a lot go back and forth. And how many miles to the gallon I got on my last trip. There's a lot going on my dashboard that maybe I shouldn't be watching other than the road. But, I mean, like, I don't have sensors yet. I know that there are people who have cars that can sense when you're kind of like sort of drifting up from your lane. That seems like too many bells and whistles.
What does it say? It says, hey.
It just beep. It should say, hey. Hey, 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 hey.
You keep your eyes on the road.
You keep your eyes on the road. I got into another argument, by the way. 312-981-7200. We are taking the best gas. I wonder if we can give something away. But, I mean, if you tell, like, you just make up a number then where the cheapest gas is, it doesn't seem like a great contest. But would you drive out of your way? And do you drive out of your way to get more gas? 312-981-7200. I did get into another argument about when you merge and whether or not it's more. I know. I'm convinced that I can just, like, two people at a time, Esmeralda, and possibly our listening audience, that you can use the empty lane all the way to the end. And if more of you do it, it won't look as though we're all cutting. It will look as though we're using all the real estate and then politely let each other in.
I sadly am the one, like, if you go all the way to the end.
Yeah, you hate me?
I won't let you in.
Yeah.
Forget it. You could have gotten in earlier like I did.
Well, and that's the way I used to be. Do you know who changed me? I don't know if I told this story. I'm going to tell you after the news who changed me. It was someone from this very station. There was one individual in particular who was responsible for teaching me that. Before we go to the news, Mary, what's your gas price?
$2.09.
In?
This is in Cortland, but it did go up to $2.39 today.
Oh. When you see it go up, don't you be like, oh, if only I'd like had like gas cans to fill up and take home with me.
I wish.
That's how I always feel. Thank you, Mary. I was going to do this, Esmeralda. I'm learning how, the thing about doing this, like I just learned how to use the hotkeys. And the thing is, because I don't know the names of songs, I'm like, oh, I like this one.
Are you learning song names now?
I am. That's Foo Fighters, Times Like These.
It is. Good job.
I know. This is like, when you're teaching a kid, like, you know, word pictures and stuff, I feel like this whole thing is a learning thing for me now.
Too bad there's not like a smiley owl professor that comes up and goes, you did a hoot of a job.
Oh, could we do that? Maybe get like a graphic to do that. I would love that.
I
did a good job and like pat me on the head.
Are you describing a real thing that exists somewhere though, Esmeralda? Because that sounded amazing.
I have
a toy.
You did
a hoot of a job?
I had a toy when I was a kid who was an owl as a professor, and his belly, you would put in these plastic cards, and they were just all these little games, and you would touch the buttons to win the games, and it would go doo 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 doo, and then, like, it would make, you know, good noises and bad noises.
I have to look for that toy.
I mean, this was back in the 80s, 90s, so I don't know if it still
It's on
exists.
eBay. Someone's got your childhood.
It's what? In my closet.
Oh.
That's where it is.
Aw.
I mean, I'm sure other people own
Does
one.
Does it still work?
I don't know. I mean, the batteries are probably dead by now.
I kind of need to know if it works.
I should go. Next time I go to my parents' house, I'll retrieve it from there.
That sounds like a good idea. I like
so
that.
So I can
idea.
Learn my colors.
I don't think I have any of my childhood toys. I have my very first calculator. It was a big Mickey Mouse calculator. My mom bought it for me when I was 5. I still have that. My mom had such high hopes for my math abilities. It was really nice of her.
I think they all do.
Well, a lot of books. My mother bought me a lot of books. Like when I was 7 or 8, she bought me the entire C.S. Lewis, Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe series.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. She was a little disappointed when she found out that they had a lot of religious sort of messages in them. Mm. But I didn't read that. It was all a wonderful world that I was introduced to.
My dad is a big reader, and he got me illustrated classics for children. So I, as a kid, and they were all abbreviated and stuff, but I got to read Black Beauty, Wizard of Oz, Little Women, Oliver Twist.
See, and you have, so, and it has an impact on your life.
Yeah, so now I have a basis. I mean, mm-hmm. they weren't the exact full books, but still, I know the idea of the stories.
Right. Yeah. Well, so you've never gone back and read the full length version of a lot of those?
No, I want to.
Which one do you have a? Because they always have these lists online about books you should read before.
Yes. I've just been asking friends lately for lists of that for books specifically. Right. I need to. I think tomorrow or the next day I'm going to go get Grapes of Wrath.
Oh, that's a good one. I was actually telling Griffin we should read that because I want to go see the play at the Gift Theater. Which reminds me, Craig, yes. We have to book some of the actors from the Gift Theater.
Actually, Nick's producer went.
Oh, he did.
It was wonderful.
Yeah, it's right in our neighborhood in Jefferson Park. I keep forgetting to forward that email to you from George at the Gale Street Inn. He Ooh. Forwarded us some information about the actors there. Craig, you are good at math. Did you also read voraciously, or is it one or the other?
I did both, especially when we had the Book It. Do you remember what Book It?
No.
You got pizza from Pizza Hut if you read enough books in the Book It program. So I would get a lot of pizzas, and I thought that was awesome. Every time I read a book, you got a sticker. And the sticker was also really important because my name had more stickers than other people, and for some reason I wanted that.
Yeah, I think that's it's a good visual.
Right. But then you got the free pizza. So I think for that reason, pizza made me read stuff.
Griffin gets a ticket to Great America when he clocks in a certain number of books.
Nice.
Although we have a season pass. So we give it to one of his friends and take them with.
There you go.
That works out very well.
And he probably gets stickers, which are very important.
Yes, he does. I think they just have a log, like these sheets that you log it all in, how many pages you read. By the way, okay, first of all, I teased that I was going to tell you who enlightened me when it comes to using all the entire lane. When everybody's merged, let's say the highway's going down by a lane and it's being eliminated and they give you the signs, this lane ends in half a mile or a quarter mile or whatever. And a lot of people, and this is two-thirds of Americans, there's a study that says two-thirds of Americans move over almost immediately. One, because they think it's polite or it's a more efficient way to do it. And a third of us, I'm in the third, piss you off by using that lane all the way to the end. But there are studies that also show that traffic would move more efficiently if people would use that other lane and then let each other in. That's where you could use the politeness. And so, but everyone has to be on board. Otherwise, I'm just the jerk. So if you guys would come with me in that lane, and perhaps if we just make this, and there are cities where they have signage. They actually have like the zip merge as signage and use the lane all the way to the end. Not where it's like you don't want to cross any double like the solid lines or any of that stuff. You want to just use that lane, all the available territory. But the reason I learned that, I was listening to Kathy and Judy years ago. I want to say it was the early 2000s. And Steve Bertrand was talking. I don't remember if Kathy or Judy was kind of saying how much that aggravated her when people would use that lane and just drive right by all the way to the end. And Steve Bertrand was saying, yeah, use the lane, go all the way to the end. And I think he was talking about the Kennedy when you come up to the feeder ramp at Ohio, because there's, you know, that lane starts to sort of narrow at the feeder ramp. There's all, you know, I think it's from the express lanes. So when you're taking the express lanes, it comes down to one. And I, because of Steve Bertrand, I drive all the way to the end and then pray for the best.
See, but I'm like, why wouldn't you just get in earlier?
Well, because you can use the traffic continues to move. And that happened. Esmeralda, I was on the Ohio feeder ramp going onto the Kennedy from downtown. and two lanes of traffic were completely stopped. Even though, if you drove around for that lane that goes toward the Dan Ryan, if you use that lane all the way to the end and then got over, you would see like the two. There was actually one entire lane that was all open. It was everybody getting over for the express lanes. They were blocking up two whole lanes.
Now, see, I would say that's different than when you're on just like a red light, green light situation.
Mm-hmm. No, not
that's like you got to go fast. Oh, you got to get in where you can get in.
Right. Well, the red light. I'm not talking about red light, green light.
No, but you know what I mean. Like when it's just city streets.
Right. No, but this is the ramp. This was getting on the express lanes. But on regular streets, are you talking about using all like the parking lane?
No, when you see it's, you know, say it's two lanes.
Right.
And they're wanting to push you over because they're doing something.
Oh, construction. Right. Yeah, I could see one. That is different, too, especially because it's often just on the other side of the intersection. And maybe you didn't even know like that. Some people make the mistake and didn't realize it was coming up. Other people do drive at the construction and then get. I don't do that. No, I'm talking about like
I'm thinking of that.
No, I'm talking about like highways and entrance ramps.
You get in when
you go. I go all the way to the end.
I mean, I just get in where I can get in.
You're right.
I immediately start checking to see if I can pop into the lanes. I don't drive all the way to and then look.
You're a far more polite driver than I am. To say that.
I guess so.
I feel like I'm getting more aggressive too.
Could be good. That could be good and bad.
To be more aggressive?
Yes.
And I think it must look weird to people to be an aggressive Prius driver, right? Because it sort of lends itself
to saving all that gas.
Right? Well, that's why I can do that. I'm just zipping around. There was a listener who was who felt that because she'd been driving for 30 years, she had posted on our Facebook page that I was just wrong. And then she wrote Deary. And that might have been the part where I was like, oh, well, here's this article and also this one. And I'm going to put all these studies that tell you that actually there's some science. Not science, but there have been studies that prove it's more efficient. And I'm just saying, just trying to help everybody out. Use all the available territory.
I feel like you should do some sort of experiment. We should set up a thing.
All you're going to see is me really making people angry, just driving right by them all the way to the end of where that lane ceases to exist and people just looking at or doing what you do, which is block people. Some people block me from and then I have to drive. Now I got to drive on the shoulder. Thanks. Putting us all in danger. They do that. They stick out. I'm going to force them into the lane. No, well, if I have the shoulder, I'm going to go right around you because you just threw an obstacle. Only if I'm driving full speed. Esmeralda, you just got nervous.
I'm just because I'm thinking high speeds.
Not that
that's
high
frightening.
Speed. No, I mean enough to within reason. I'm
50 and up.
I'm reasonably aggressive. How's that? I'm not doing 50 in the merge lane. So we were asking about gas. I'm trying to think if I drive out of my way for Costco has a lot of really good prices, and I think now that they've ended their relationship with Amex, because for a long time you had to have an American Express card if you had a Costco card to get their gas. So I wonder now if you can use any Visa card at any Costco pump, because they have like it's like $2.05 at some of those stations. I'll go to Costco and then get a pallet of water.
That's it?
Well, I try to go to Costco and not spend my entire month's paycheck.
I don't understand how people go to these places and not spend thousands of dollars.
I try to stay under $200. But that's hard to do.
What is that, like three items?
You could buy a lot of stuff.
I went once with my parents. They have Sam's Club in Joliet. And I went and I think I spent like $80 and I bought like two things. I'm just like, how do people buy?
Like, it wasn't like a bag of chips and what were the
No,
two
it was like, you know, soap and a package of meat.
But a really big like vat of meat and soap.
Yeah, but still, I'm like, how do these, and then I'm seeing people with just carts filled to the brim. I'm like, oh my gosh, that must be so much money.
I know. Well, there's a lot of restaurant owners too. A lot of people with businesses that go in there that load up and they have the dollies. And when someone comes up with a dolly, I'm like, don't get in that lane. Do not get behind the person with the dolly. I have actually not been there in a long time, mostly because I haven't been hungry for the samples lately. Do you ever just like drive by and you're like, I got to go in for some
No,
sliced
I wish
hot dogs.
I could. I need to get a membership again.
I'll lend you mine. Are there any consequences for lending somebody your
Probably.
Costco card?
Is there a picture on there?
It's digital. It's like a black and white digital.
They don't
picture.
Even look like no. Every time we'd go into Sam's Club, I'd be like, no, I'm with them.
Yeah,
exactly.
Oh
in.
Yeah. No, as long as one person you're with has the card and they use it when you ring out. I've never been to a Sam's Club. I've only been to Costco.
It's the same thing. It's just one's Walmart.
One's, and the other one's Kirkland's.
I think so. Mm-hmm. I don't know what Costco is a part of, but it's Sam's Club is Walmart and all them.
Walmart?
Yeah, but that's what's in Joliet. See,
I don't
think there's any Costcos.
I'll have to take a look at it sometime. I've not, because of my hours, I just don't go to any place like Home Depot, Walmart. I don't go to any big, like, just retail stores anymore. I don't go to Target. I do all my shopping on Amazon.com, which is how we ended up with a game like What's in the Box.
So it works out.
It worked out very well. It's a creative process as well. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. And it's, you know, this studio can be hit or miss when it comes to the temperature. And sometimes it's like, it's almost muggy in here on some nights, Esmeralda, but tonight it's just perfect. I don't know if there's any way to relay this to maintenance, but please this. Craig, how is the air conditioning situation? Still no air conditioner for you in your life?
We have no air conditioner, and that is a sad thing.
That's never going to happen?
No, it's never going to. No, actually, we went to the store. We were at Target, and I passed by the air conditioning area, mm-hmm. and I looked at them.
Ooh.
I was around them, and I kept mentioning how, you know, it's been hot, and these would make it colder. That whole process is understood.
I have a solution for you.
Okay.
And maybe Betty's listening, so I don't know if it's good to tell
her. She does listen, yeah.
She does, okay. I shouldn't.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, tell me.
Well, okay, she's very passionate about your health, obviously.
Yes, she is.
She loves you.
Mm-hmm.
When you discovered that you had celiac disease. By the way, do you know Steve King also has
I was not aware.
Has
celiac. Wow,
celiac, huh? Celiac. But
how
she
long?
Wants to make sure...
No, go ahead.
But I believe she wants to make, she's very aggressive about making sure you have what you need.
Yes, no, the gluten-free thing has been amazing. Like the amount that she attacked that issue, and now mm-hmm. everything in our house is gluten-free. The bread, everything, she eats gluten-free now.
I would say, okay, so allergies are exacerbated by opening the windows, right?
I can't go allergies. She went allergies.
She has allergies because of the air conditioning?
Yes, she thinks that she's allergic to Freon.
To Freon?
That's what she says.
Oh, so we have to find a Freon-free air conditioner? Is that possible? Are there Freon-free air conditioners?
I'm going to Google that. That's a great idea. I never even thought of that.
I would think that there's got to be some there has to be alternatives.
That's a great idea.
I'm going with the health avenue.
So there's this thing that, like, I don't know, it makes the air cooler. Not an air conditioner. It's sort of like a water vapor thing in the air. But I read that that's only places like Texas or arid areas that really works. Here, there's enough water in the air that it's not going to make it, like, colder.
It just goes everywhere?
Right.
How about those Dyson fans? Have you seen those? They're bladeless.
Oh, I've seen those.
Those are cool. I don't know if they make anything cooler when you just have hot air blowing around.
They're quieter. I mean, I have like six fans. So
do you
I'm...
sit in front of them and go, ah, like, make you do, don't you?
I do, a little bit, yeah.
Sometimes.
At night. I'm just trying to go to sleep.
A different voice.
Air conditioner.
Esmeralda, you have air conditioning?
Yes.
But you don't turn
do.
It on.
I have central air.
Oh.
No, I turned it on this past week and I actually just turned it off, but I keep it up pretty old man style. It's like 78.
That is
76 if I'm feeling crazy.
Our air conditioning is really hard to control. And at 74, it's freezing. So I feel like there's something wrong somewhere along the line with circuitry. So it's a problem for me. When I was at Verizon store one day and they showed me this amazing thermostat that you can, link to your phone so you can control the thermostat from your phone. And I read a story in the wintertime about how they're called Nest, and they went offline all over the country in the middle of the winter.
Oh, no good.
And now they've all gone, a bunch of them have gone offline in a during a heat wave. So that means, so in the winter, it shut down the heat, and in the summer, it's shutting down the air conditioning. This seems like a product flaw.
I thought it just tracked things.
It controls it controls your heating and cooling.
Okay.
Completely.
See, no, I knew I'd do that, but I thought it was more of a thing like, hey, you should probably turn it to this because this will be better.
To monitor your efficiency?
Right.
Oh, no, this controls it.
Yeah. I didn't think that you couldn't control it at all.
Oh, no, this is
there's no manual?
No, and the thing is that you have to come in and get like a tech to come in and reset these thermostats.
Ooh.
And if people are having a lot of trouble with customer support, they can still be controlled manually, but anyone trying to keep AC on at another location, like if you're, like say you're at, it's at there's another one at the office with a Nest, you could be in like a worrisome situation as the temperatures continue to rise.
Oh, see, I wanted, well, I don't
so
own
did
a
I.
home, so.
You what?
I don't know if you can put those in rentals.
I think you, well, if you worked it out with your landlord, maybe.
Yeah, see, that's a whole situation. I don't need to. That's but, too much trouble.
But this seems kind of like a, isn't this potentially, right? If this is a remote thermostat, like to me, this is a, like the ahead of the, you know, driverless cars. Like all of a sudden, if I, can't your car also go offline? Doesn't this seem like a possibility, Craig?
That sounds like a possibility. They have the smart key now. That always confuses me, too. When there's, like, you can put the key on your phone and then you can open a door. You could start your car with just your phone.
Yeah.
That sounds like a hacker can figure out how to then steal that car.
And also you can put that on your door at home.
Right. And then they get in your house. They'll drive home and take your house.
I just think there needs to be a manual in all of these. Like, yeah, there's automatic, but then if something happens, you still have a key.
I think that stops the hackers, though. We need,
That way you can still...
If you lose the code.
If it shuts down,
right,
you still have a key that you can then use.
Yeah. I kind of want the one for the door. Although, what do you think about... I think I'm going to get it like one of the keypad ones, like you have to push in the numbers for the lock. Because Griffin, I hate to say this, he can't open our front door with the key to save his life. I don't know.
I'd be so scared to forget the number.
Why can't he do it?
I think it's also warped. You know, like after years, you kind of know how to jiggle it. And so we could start by replacing it. But if I'm going to replace it and I'm kind of already leaning towards a push, like the keypad one, I think I should just go keypad.
Keypad makes sense.
I think keypad makes sense. I remember when I was sleep deprived and the boys were little, and I would get out of the car with the kids and lock the van behind me and then try to open my front door with the key fob and be very frustrated that my door was not. I was like, oh, that's right. I have to put the key in the door. I was so sleep deprived when I was a new mom.
A texter might have just changed my life.
What
happened? 630, there are AC units that use Puron or R410A instead of Freon.
This is what I'm saying.
Oh, my God.
We're solving problems
here, Craig. Oh, my God. My life has been changed.
Yeah, first of all, you have to go, I have allergies. We have to, you know, it's better when the windows are closed.
Uh-huh. Okay. I'm writing this all down.
Yes. And then since she's allergic to Freon.
Right. Are the Puron units window units, though, 630? Is that a window situation?
Now we're both Googling with Craig and Patty. Is it Puron?
It's the way he spelled it is P-U-R-O-N.
Puron.
Yeah, Puron. Or R-410A, which I don't know how he
Wow,
knows
that's
that.
Very specific.
Very specific.
Puron air conditioner unit. These look like Central Air, actually.
Okay, so those are not, that's not a window situation.
It's a window unit. This does seem like. I worry. I made my husband so angry the other day because Bill and Wendy were talking about turning the air conditioning off once in a while, that it's better in bursts. And so I turned the air conditioner off during one of the hotter days, left the house, and forgot to turn it back on. And Steve was not pleased. He was like, "What? It's so hot in the house." I'm like, "Turn the air on. It'll cool off in a few minutes."
Right.
It's central air.
And then you go,
"Yeah, look, it's instant pleasure." I just built it right in.
Oh, now texters are going after Betty.
Against Betty?
From 205,
sorry,
I call BS on Freon allergy. Got a fridge that's run on Freon.
Ooh.
That's an interesting
conversation. No, don't go there because then
I'm not going to go there.
No, because she's going to pull out the fridge.
No, she's definitely allergic to Freon.
She's going to pull out the fridge.
You're right. She could make that work, I think.
Yeah, you can go fridgeless.
Oh, my God.
I'm just saying.
I couldn't even stick my head in the ice bucket anymore.
No more fridge.
That is so sad.
Now I have to, wait, let me see if there are, there are window units that have Puron air conditioner.
Really? You found one?
Yes.
Okay.
Windows,
air conditioner. Is it like $1 billion?
Here's one at Best Buy. Let me see if it's
Best Buy. That's good.
It could be very good. Right. $1 million would be tough to.
Yeah. I wouldn't be able to work that all out so quickly.
Oh, I don't know.
Probably next summer.
This is just Energy Star.
Okay.
It's not really helpful for you.
From the 815, this is a little off topic, Patty. I apologize. But oh my God, someone has captured all 142 Pokemon.
Is it 142? Are there 142?
I feel like there's more than that, but the 815 seems to think someone has captured them all the Pokemon available in the U.S.
Do they have them at their gym?
I don't know. So you want to? Do we all want to clap real quick?
I guess so. Yay!
Way to go, person you're talking about, because it's not even the 815; it's somebody else. But
there you go.
Good job.
Congratulations. Mm-hmm. Now I got to look up Freon air conditioner. Freon allergies. Freon allergies. I don't know if that's a thing either.
I mean, how do you know you have a Freon allergy?
Oh, here it is.
Did you get the thing stabbed in your arm?
We also had to get rid of our kitten because she was allergic to cats, but I didn't see her cough a lot. But
your eyes can water.
Yeah. Marriage, you make compromises, though. She's allergic to stuff. I just agree to that.
There is refrigerant poisoning, so don't let her drink it.
Oh, I don't think she's ever wanted to drink it.
Allergic reactions to air conditioner refrigerant info at the dump.
That's what she says.
All right. Yeah. I'm not seeing a lot of information on it, but I'm not going to.
I think
it
runs in the family because they never use air conditioning in their cars ever, those people.
Do you know how? Oh, by the way, here's the effects of Freon exposure. Maybe we're all doing the wrong thing. Maybe Esmeralda is here. Freon is a substance with multiple applications in industrial production. However, it does raise some questions about exposure and human health. Let's see. It may affect your heart. In most cases, Freon exposure in small quantities, like leaks from the refrigerator or air conditioner. And, you know, maybe if you have any leaks, maybe you want to get and that's not for us.
Yeah,
for
it's
you.
Just for other people. Just, yeah,
you're mm-hmm. fine.
Although, yeah, I'm great.
Fridge, could come from
Do you remember a couple of years ago when I talked a little bit about how we didn't have heat in one of our apartments?
Yes.
That was way worse than this. This is livable.
Okay.
I'm okay. Yeah.
Ugh. I'd rather, Esmeralda, would you rather have heat or air conditioning?
I've lived through both.
A lot of blankets.
I've done both.
I'd rather have air conditioning.
You'd rather have it even though you don't use it.
Yeah, but I use it when it's super hot
no,
out there.
No, you guys, you're so wrong. Try to turn off your heat during the winter.
There was
no, because then my pipes would freeze.
It's more of a fear of how low is it going to get in the house before. Can we go to sleep like this and not wake up dead?
That is definitely the fear.
By the way, there's someone going, you can't wake up dead! It's a joke.
Yeah, it's just a joke. Yeah, I did fear death a lot, though, then.
Yes. There was a fire at the Andy's Deli on Milwaukee Avenue, cutting off the power to most of that grid in that neighborhood. And it was the middle of winter, and the boys were still in cribs, and we were trying to figure out, like, do we go to the in-laws? Do we get out of the house? And we decided to just cuddle up and went to sleep. And I think the temp went down to, like, 64. It's chilly, though.
Oh, wow.
It was cold.
Yeah, it's chilly.
But I figured, in my mind, the heat had been running all night, and I figured, like, hopefully the house, like, sort of kept that in. None of the doors were opening or anything. We weren't letting any of the heat out.
Right. It's like when the lights go out and you have the fridge, you don't open the fridge.
Right.
To keep the cold air in.
Right.
Exactly. This don't keep checking true. On that meat. Your meat's just fine.
Just real quick to the 224. You're very sweet and all your information is interesting. I'm still going to believe she has an allergy just because I'm going to do it.
Oh, someone's telling you they're
something. Trying to prove her wrong.
All right, then. Craig, did you see that? You said a whole flock of scooter board. What are those things called? Like skateboards with handles?
I think they're just scooters still.
Yeah. Scooters. That was weird. It's a flock.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Like 11 people.
That's a lot. That's significant.
Yeah, 1:35 at night.
Yeah, on a Tuesday. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. And I was taking a tour of Griffin's new school not too long ago, and the principal took us on the tour. He actually joined a lot of different groups going from all the different areas, of, you know, going to the library, going to the cafeteria, and the principal caught up with us, wanted to, you know, personalize the tour, tell us some information about the school, and he was telling them about what the community was like and what the parents were like and how involved everyone was. And he goes, you know, and we're, you know, we've really been able to cut down on truancy and, you know, all kinds of, you know, there aren't as many reprimanded kids these days. You know, we're not giving out, you know, suspensions or anything like that because we really have a bunch of kids that really know how to behave. And we know, you know, like they're going to smoke pot with their parents on the weekends. And I know, Esmeralda, that was, I was like,
what?
I'm sorry, what? What are you talking about? And I didn't smoke pot at all until I was 21. I was in college, and I was loud about not wanting to smoke pot. And I actually had one of my friends tell me that I was so obnoxious about it in freshman year that she really didn't think she wanted to hang out with me because I would say things like, "I don't know how you can have fun if you're high all the time." You know, or I don't get the big deal, you know, not, and actually now having tried it myself, I don't actually enjoy it, but there are people who do. And I get that. There are people I know that perhaps can't get through a day without it. I've told you, I've known people in Los Angeles who are on their highways and maybe that's how you deal with that is getting high, taking your one hitter. But I don't get the idea of smoking pot with your kids. I had two friends in high school. Let's call them, no, I shouldn't even use their names because they're brothers and then it'll be easy to draw a line back to them. When I was in college, I can't remember why, I hung out with their dad, and this sounds really convoluted now, Esmeralda. I had gone back to see one of them play high school football, and the dad invited me out to just grab a lunch or whatever. And while we were having lunch, he offered me some pot. And he goes, how do you think I made it through all those nights with you guys hanging out? Like, he'd gone with us camping one time, and he was telling me how I always got high. I'm like, this is the weirdest thing I have ever, I don't know what to do with this situation. And also, like, my mind was blown that here was an adult chaperoning us, and he was high. I didn't understand. And as I went through college, I found out there were a lot more parents who would drink with their kids because they figure they're going to do it anyway. I'd rather they do it at home and be safe. And, you know, I don't get the psychology behind that. And recently, Richard Branson, who is, you know, this big billionaire, British billionaire, who has Virgin Group, Virgin Airlines, which, by the way, I did not realize that he created Virgin Airlines because he was stranded at an airport in Puerto Rico. Got out his credit card and rented a plane and decided, well, I should do this now, basically. So he was in town to speak to a group of entrepreneurs. He'd been invited, and the Stephen Kelly, who's the CEO of the conference organizers group Sage, he actually encouraged Richard Branson to go off script, which is fine, but then you gotta be okay with whatever happens next. When you encourage somebody who had a prepared speech, you got to be ready for things like Richard Branson encouraging these entrepreneurs to get high with their kids. He was telling them that you should, you know, get high with them so they're in a controlled environment. They're going to go off and do it anyway. And of course, all of these guys, you know, men and women in suits expecting like how to learn how to be savvy business people. They all kind of, what? And the guy who was running the meeting briskly moved the conversation along. Of course he did. That's not the way you want that conversation to go. But Esmeralda, you never drank with your parents, did you?
No, not even now.
No,
it's weird. You know what? Yeah, smoke and drink with your kids, so they'll think it's not cool anymore.
Is that
you imagine? You'd be like, "Hey, son, let's get high." They'd be like, "No, I'm not doing that ever."
We offered to let Griffin take a sip of wine one time, and he's like, "You could go to jail for that." We're like, "Okay, fair enough."
My parents actually, and this is a story that my mom has told me, that when I was a kid, like a baby, and this is no opinion on my dad. He's my dad, and it was the 80s. He was giving me beer. As like a toddler.
Oh, God.
He would give me beer because it's like, look, it's funny.
And he also wanted you to nap. That's one way to.
Probably. But my mom said that she saw me because I was like, yeah, beer. And she goes, next, if I ever see you do that, I'm going to burn your mouth. And then my dad would do it. And I'd go, no. And I'd like hold my hands up to my mouth.
Oh, it's so scary.
I didn't do it anymore.
No, you did not. Mm-hmm. It's still a little emotionally scarring for Esmeralda.
That's fine.
Did your parents drink with you or get high with you, Craig?
No, not at all.
No. Mm. No, my parents would never. I snuck a sip of Old Style when I was little. That was disgusting. I did not like that.
Apparently, I liked it.
You like the taste?
That's what my dad drinks.
Was it Old Style?
Old Style, yeah.
In retrospect, I'm like, that's so malty. That's not what I was thinking when I was. Well, my dad also had. He was a chain smoker. He had, you know, was always had a beer, and it was. I'm surprised I made it out of my childhood at all. I really am.
Ditto. No, my dad was a big. He was a big drinker.
Yeah,
drinking beer all the time, and I'm amazed I never. I never drank until I was in college.
Yeah. No, I didn't drink until after high school.
Yeah. There was a full stocked bar. Never touched it.
Yeah. No, I don't. I can't remember if we didn't have a full stocked bar, but we always had some type of booze in the house. And there are kids who thought I was a complete dork in high. I wish that we could help that sort of mentality of you're a dork if you don't drink or you don't party. I was the goody two shoes, which I'm proud of. I don't have bad memories. Like, I don't regret not drinking.
Right. Neither do I. I'm like, that's fine.
Yeah.
I never knew about the
you
parties.
Know, the only thing I will say is that if you don't drink until you get to college and then you go out your first night in college and just listen to everyone, there were friends of mine. I had tried alcohol before college, and I think that was, I'm not advocating drinking underage, but I think that was good to at least get an idea of what it does to you, because the people that have never even tried it, never tasted it, nothing, and get drunk that first night, that's actually kind of dangerous.
It is a little bit dangerous.
Yeah.
My first thing was Jack Daniels. Do you remember your first drink?
I very much do. It was brandy. I don't remember the kind, and it was awful.
Oh, it's like syrup.
That was terrible.
Ugh. Esmeralda?
Fuzzy navels.
Oh.
We were drinking them in the basement.
That's nice.
In the basement of one of the dorms.
You know what my second drink was? Pucker. Do you know what that is? I went from brandy to pucker. Apple pucker.
Ever.
You know what's great about that, though, is it's really light. Like, it's not the same as everything else. So you could drink it and feel cool.
It's not light.
Yes, it is. It's not the same
high alcohol content. It doesn't have a high alcohol.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever have the worst stomach aches?
Oh, for sure.
Gross.
So many terrible stomach aches.
Oh, no. I used to like, when I was young, I don't know how I got a taste for Jägermeister. Blah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I used to drink Boone's Farm.
Oh,
Boone's Farm is great. Oh, no, that's just good. Everything about it. There's so many flavors.
Not the blue one.
No, the blue one is good.
That's not natural. No, I would drink the red one.
Tropical Paradise? Are you talking about Boone's Farm Tropical Paradise? That is great.
The blue one?
Yeah, that's what it is. Delicious.
By the way, we haven't figured out who we're going to wake up tonight, by the way. Now, I'm not saying that Scott Santis likes blueberry Boone's, but I wonder if we should call Scott and start taunting him ahead of his, hopefully his waxing this Thursday. But I don't know what about Boone's Farm made me think of Scott Santis.
I almost think that we should. Waxing.
I know. I wonder if we should have some sort of a numbing cocktail for him for Thursday night. I think it's actually perfect to have it on the night that Hillary Clinton accepts the nomination of her party, that we have Scott Santis. Although it would have been better last week. But Cat's Meow, we kind of have been scheduling a little bit, and I absolutely will have them on Thursday, even if I have to drag them into the studio.
I wonder if that affects the skin, though,
to
drinking.
She's going to be fine.
Because you might bleed.
Ooh.
Oh, that's a good point. Well, what if we get, like, crappy Boone's Farm and stuff? That sounds really great. Then he won't be that drunk.
Ooh.
He's going to have to drink, like, five of them.
Let's do Pucker and Boone's Farm and get all the good stuff in here.
Puckers and Boone's.
I'll get a 30 case of Keystone.
Oh.
Oh, my
Just
God.
Just go ahead and get some Zima.
Zima sounds great.
I loved Zima when that came out. I don't know why that was so exciting for me. By the way, that was what Lorelai and Luke toasted their engagement with when they got on Gilmore Girls. I don't know why. That's my new Zima go-to. It was very popular when I was driving through Colorado. They loved their Zima.
I'm very excited about the Gilmore Girls when it comes back. Yeah.
We should call Rose Abdu.
We should.
I think we've left her a voicemail, haven't we?
I don't think we've left her a voicemail for a wake-up call.
I don't think we have.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Right.
Do we do Scott Santis or Rose Abdu?
I would say Rose. Okay. I say call Gypsy.
All right, let's call Gypsy. I should make sure that I have her number, though. This could be embarrassing.
If I have her cell.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
I think that's a good idea. I like it.
When you gave me Gypsy's cell, I saved that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yep.
How do you not want to keep that?
Uh-huh. Got it around.
Let's see what she's been up to on Facebook. She might have some information for us. Because I think she said Netflix would be coming out with the new season of Gilmore Girls. By the way, we didn't talk about this on the air yet. Before we wrap up and get to our pretty late wake-up call, you were mentioning the Trumpeteers have not been paid. And you know that song that we play for any Trump topics for your Trumpinions? Those little girls that are singing that were never paid. But, you know, I kind of thought they volunteered for it. Who knew that they were hired performers? Who's, like, you know, pimping out their daughters to do that? Like, I would think as a patriot, if you really believe in the Trump campaign, wouldn't you just be like, oh, no, my daughters will totally sing for this?
Wait, are they just a group of performers, or were they actually called the Trumpeteers beforehand?
Oh, we call them the Trumpeteers. I don't think they're technically called
They're
that.
Just patriotic little girls.
I mean, though, they deserved some money.
No, they do, but I was just wondering, like, did they come in like, yeah, no, we're the Trumpeteers.
This deserved some money. I mean, this was a hit.
Yeah, they had studio time, I'm sure.
Well, and we don't even know if those three girls laid that track and then danced to it, because they're lip syncing. I mean, they're good. But I don't think that they're that good. But yeah, they have not. The Trump campaign has not paid the Trumpeteers, and I find that can you really stand behind a candidate who won't pay these beautiful little girls who?
Oh, by the way,
the campaign.
The 312 is suggesting we get some Wild Irish Rose or some TJ Swan.
Wild Irish
might
Rose.
Might as well get some Mad Dog while we're at
it. Yep, let's do all that.
Is Wild Irish Rose that sort of pink milky tequila stuff? What's Wild Irish Rose?
Yeah, it's terrible.
It's called bum wine.
Oh, it's bum wine.
Pretty much. It's very, very cheap.
Have you guys had Captain Admiral?
No.
What's a Captain Admiral?
That's a kind of whiskey.
Ooh.
It's real good. It comes in
that
giant plastic thing for like seven bucks.
By the way, did you know Walgreens has a beer?
Walgreens has their own beer?
They have a brewery? We have one here. There's a couple left in this fridge.
No, thank you.
No, I don't. You can't try one.
Yeah, I can't have that.
I have a surprise for you for next week. Esmeralda, do you like you know what? I'll text him. Do you like chicken, fish? Are you a pasta gal? What do you like? Red meats?
Food.
Okay. I will.
Like, are you like chicken, fish? Yes to everything.
I have a guest next week bringing food for us. You know what? I feel like I'm saying that. I don't know. It's like a week out, but I just got, he was asking me what we wanted. I know what Craig likes, and I put in a request, and then he asked me what I want, and then I just looked up and went, oh, Esmeralda, let's make sure we get something.
I love everything.
I love everything.
I'm not picky.
Is there anything, like, I don't like Brussels sprouts. I will say I love everything, and then I hit a wall at Brussels sprouts.
I don't know.
No, you like you like you don't. Or you do? We forgot to ask how your barbecue went. I couldn't make it over on Saturday.
I know it rained.
Yeah,
real hard.
It was crazy.
No, it was lovely. I made some chicken that was marinated in some Thai curry paste.
I feel bad that I missed that.
V made a buffalo burger with a apple slaw, which was lovely.
That's very nice.
Yeah,
you got one that cooks.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. He does cooks. He likes going to those manbecues. have you heard of those? The manbecues? They're all no. these dudes that get together and cook.
Oh.
They have like showdowns and stuff.
Do they wear shirts?
They probably have a manbecue shirt.
I like that. I was thinking they would go shirtless.
Yeah, it would be better shirtless, I would think.
I mean, they could get burnt.
Hmm. Oh, yeah.
No, you got to stay far enough away from the grill, you're fine.
Because I think they're big shirtless. Bacon advocates, so. The splash of the bacon fat would not be good.
By the way, Esmeralda, have you had everything? If you like everything, have you tried everything?
I mean, I've tried all the major food meats.
Can we bring in stuff for Esmeralda to eat?
Yeah. I mean, as long as it looks
just
good,
like
I'll
anything,
eat it.
You'll eat anything.
I mean, as long
be
as
careful,
it looks good.
Because then we have to make you eat something disgusting and that would be.
Well, no, I mean, we don't
no,
have to
but as long as it looks
far.
Good.
Right.
I'll eat
as
it.
Long as it's actually edible, people eat it.
Oh, there you
and
go.
It looks good.
Oh, well,
because if it's like a pile of something, I'm not going to eat it.
like Jell-O molds?
Some boiled buffalo whatever. It's like, no.
Right.
I hate
if
Jell-O.
You maybe fried them and did them all nice.
I hate Jell-O, and I hate Jell-O salads.
Jell-O's great.
Blah. All right, Jell-O's wonderful.
I'm really curious what Esmeralda will eat now.
She's almost everything.
Right.
I'm trying
looks
to
good.
Think. Yeah, if it doesn't look good, then.
Should we have people text us in like suggestions of stuff to get Esmeralda to eat?
Well, I mean, like, pig's feet isn't something you're going to go...
Are you going to eat pig's feet?
Again...
Pickled?
If it looks good.
If it's cooked right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm down for it.
I have a tough time with food that looks like it's an original form.
Yeah.
Like a fish with eyes.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah, okay. The pig with a face.
That
doesn't make any sense.
No. You know what? If you're eating animals... You have to accept the fact that they are animals and they had faces.
I don't want to think about it when I'm eating it.
Well, too bad.
I do a great job not thinking about it now. It's a burger. There's, you know, lettuce on it. It's lovely. There's no face.
There's apparently a vegan burger out there that's supposed to change the face of meat consumption. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's going to bleed.
It's got beet juice in it. You saw that.
Whatever.
Let's check in with Rose Abdu from Gilmore Girls. It's Gypsy after this on 720 WGN. Before you go, go, don't leave me hanging on like a yo-yo. Wake me up before you go, go. I don't want to miss it when you hit that. So Craig got a text from somebody that wants you to try a head cheese. Is that right? Yes?
That's perfectly fine.
That's right.
Actually, Nick's a big head cheese fan, I believe.
I thought you were calling him a big head cheese. That was a bit much.
He's a big head cheese.
Big
no,
head cheese.
I've actually never tried. I go a lot to Jeans. Delicatessen, which is on Lincoln, and they're German, and they have a lot of that kind of stuff.
What is head cheese?
It's a big amalgam, I think, of
Leftover other cheeses?
No.
Oh.
Of meats.
Oh, like, it's not actually cheese?
No, it's not actually cheese.
Oh, that's weird. We are calling Gypsy from Gilmore Girls. We're calling Rose Abdu. And because it's in Los Angeles, there's a possibility that she'll answer because it's only going to be midnight. She's somebody who stays up late. I've been following her on Facebook. She seems to be having a lot of fun. And we're excited about the impending premiere of Gilmore Girls on Netflix. This is weird.
Hello, it's Rose Abdu.
Oh.
I will call you back as soon as I can. Thanks.
Ooh, it's great. Hi, Rose, it's Patty Vasquez.
Craig Collins.
And Esmeralda Leon.
We're so excited to leave you a voicemail. This is the pretty late wake-up call. Actually, it's also the pretty late last call. We haven't necessarily locked in on it, but I thought about you tonight because we were talking about Zima, and then I started thinking about Luke and Lorelai and how they celebrated their engagement by having Zima because there was nothing else in Dozy's market. So they ended up with Zima, and then, of course, I thought of you. I've been thinking about you because I love all the stuff you're posting on Facebook, and Craig and I. Esmeralda, are you also a fan of the Gilmore Girls?
I've Ooh. Seen episodes and I enjoyed it, but I was not a
I have to
fan.
Say, if you love Buffy, and I don't know why I make this connection, maybe because of the banter, the dialogue, the girl power of above it. I think that I think you give it another try.
Yeah, I remember when it was on. I watched a few episodes, but I never got into it.
You
got
to get into it. I will binge with you. And we'll get all the food, because every Friday night, Lorelai and Rory get all the food. All the food, the more food, and they just watch bad movies.
They sound like Pippi Longstockings. My kind of ladies.
Yes. I almost want to watch a Pippi Longstockings movie because of them. They watch The Godfather 3, I think, ironically, even though it's also terrible. Have you seen Godfather 3?
No.
Craig?
Yes, I'm a man. I've seen it.
Yeah, but that opening scene
at
the whatever thing, he's being honored and it goes on.
Do you have HBO?
I do.
Have you seen this thing? It's on HBO. I don't know if it's other places. It's all the movies together.
Yes, it's all shoved together.
Right, but it's actually in chronological order, too. Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, it's very confusing.
It is. Well, it's confusing if you remember it. I saw those movies when I was very little, so I only remember snippets of it. So this is exactly the way I remember it.
Oh, so you liked it?
Yes.
Okay.
I want a cannoli.
I always want a cannoli.
I want a cannoli.
Not even just when we're talking about The Godfather. I love cannolis.
Take a cannoli, leave the gun.
I can't have cannolis anymore.
Oh, no, there has to be.
Oh, God.
There has to be a gluten-free cannoli.
Anymore.
I find that hard to believe.
Okay, I'll look for
them. It's fried dough, isn't it?
Right.
Or is it baked dough or fried? It looks like fried dough.
I can't have dough unless it's made by...
Yeah, but like...
Okay, I'm Googling.
Yeah, gluten-free.
I'm glutening.
Sorry, Rose, Craig has been, since we last spoke.
Flour?
An almond flour? Yeah.
Coconut flour?
On Rose's Facebook page, she has a picture of what looks like Garrett's popcorn, the cheese and caramel. Do you like that? I don't seek it out, but once I eat it, I can't stop shoving it in my face.
Have you ever walked by a Garrett's?
I have.
Good Lord.
The line or the smell?
No, the smell is amazing.
Does it just draw you in? Is that why so many people stop?
Yeah.
All right.
That smell alone.
It's intoxicating?
Yeah, I'll find another one, though, if there's a line. Because I know where the Garrett's are. So I'll go find another one. But oh, yes.
Is it at the
caramel
level
and cheese.
At what level is Garrett's compared to any other caramel and cheese popcorn?
You know, I've had the knockoffs at Walgreens. No good. No good.
You sound almost angry by the
way
they
tried
making it.
It says Chicago mix and it's a little bag and I'm like, ooh, yay, I can take this quickly from the Walgreens. And then it's just not the same. It's not the same whatsoever.
It is. But what makes it so good? Because it's cheese, but it's a salty cheese and the sweetness.
I think it's creamier too. And at least with the ones I've tried, the knockoffs, the caramel is too sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And these, the caramel could be standalone delicious.
Just the right amount.
Right. And that mix, yeah. And once you mix it, it's even better.
I like that you have it down to a science as exactly how to consume
it. No, yeah. Because, yeah, you have to do one in one.
Well, for me, there's all that cheese powder then. And also the stickiness from the caramel. So now the cheese powder sticks to my fingers.
Yeah, best part. I don't need napkins.
No napkins. Are you I'm just going to, on my jeans. You know what?
Yeah. No, if I'm, well, it depends. Like right now I'm wearing a yellow skirt, but a dark blue shirt. So mm-hmm. I would wipe on the shirt.
Yeah, it's all fine. It's all good.
I'm going to wash it anyway.
Yeah. Well, by the way, we are leaving a voicemail for those of you just joining us. We're leaving a voicemail for Rose Abdoo, who plays Gypsy on Gilmore Girls.
You have reached the maximum.
No, I was going to give the rest of her resume. She knows her resume. I don't need to tell you. She's been on Veep. She also has been on Scandal. She's been on a lot of shows. She was on The Grinder. And someone posted on her Facebook page that they saw her have a line in U.S. Marshals, which was a Tommy Lee Jones movie. Hi, Vic Vaughn. How are you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm well. It's hard to wear the Cubs hat today.
No,
not hard. No
problem. Win or lose.
I know, but not against the Sox. This is we got to win the next.
It stings a little. Yeah, it's coming back to the north side. We never do good on the south side.
I know, but you would think that this could be a good year for us. Did you watch the convention?
I flipped back and forth.
Oh, between the baseball game.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing since yesterday. The first game, which was Tuesday.
I did not, as you can see, I did not steal the WGN fan van and drive to Philly. I tried doing the math. Representative Sarah Feigenholtz invited me. She said I could come stay with her and crash on her floor, although I don't know how conscious she was when she made the offer, so I did not take her up on that. Plus, it's kind of like, it would be a long drive. I looked at airline tickets. I know it's hard to believe.
When
very,
I pull
very expensive.
In and I see the van gone, I know Patty's somewhere.
She's taken off.
They're on the campaign trail.
I also need to figure out a way to. We've got to do a few more trips to Springfield, and we really do need to do a field trip with some of our listeners and make sure that they are getting out and meeting their legislators, because we do have an election upon us. We have to start scheduling some of our reps, but we have to also schedule their their contested races, who their opponents are. So we're going to start doing that.
What if we went to where they were representing?
We could go to their neighborhoods, to the fan van. The fan van does
it. And then they would come because then that's, I mean, yeah. They're representing this area. So
I like that. We're in. We're going to get that.
Have the representatives go to the people.
Go to the people. Go to well, they have offices there. They're already,
there you go. All right, then. Perfect.
We'll go to their offices. We'll field trip to the. It's just cheaper for gas.
Exactly.
Especially if you get it from over by the Midway Airport. Over by there.